I'd like to call the meeting to order and ask the clerk to call the roll.
Commissioner Ashajian.
Here.
Commissioner Burke.
Here.
Commissioner Clark.
Here.
Commissioner Secord.
Present.
Commissioner Kruer.
Here.
Commissioner Riley.
Here.
Commissioner Schellenberger. Commissioner Wan.
Here.
Commissioner Lucchesi.
Here.
Chair Neely.
Here.
You have a quorum.
Thank you. First item on the agenda, I guess we'll look to staff to go over the ground rules and announce any changes to today's agenda.
Thank you, Chair Neely. Good morning, commissioners, members of the public. Excuse me. Members of the public, if anyone wishes to address the commission today, we ask that you fill out a speaker slip. They can be found outside at the table. Please be sure to put your name and item number on the speaker slip and bring it up to the staff table. Chair Neely will call your name prior to the item being heard. And moving to, and also we ask that all cell phones and handheld electronic devices be turned off while in the meeting room. They do interfere with our webcasting. And turning to the changes on today's agenda, on page 10 of the agenda, we have no changes. On page 11, item 7A, the TRG investment moved to consent. And item 8A, 507-327R, the Livoni reconsideration is postponed. On page 12 of the agenda, item 11C, the San Diego LCP amendment regarding affordable housing is postponed. And item 12B, the Benaez appeal is postponed. And on page 13, item 13B, 608-62 Blackburn is postponed. Item 13D, 608-100 Abbott in Saratoga would move to consent. And item 13E, 608-107 State Parks would move to consent. And that concludes the changes on today's agenda.
Very good. Thank you, staff.
And moving on, item number 3, there is no enforcement report today. And item number 4 is the consent calendar for the South Coast District, Orange County. There are 3 items. All of the conditions are acceptable, and there's no known opposition to these items. Therefore, staff recommends the commission approve the consent calendar.
All right, and we have no speaker slips for the consent calendar. What's the pleasure of the commission? We have a motion by Commissioner Ashajian.
Is there
a second by Commissioner Secord? Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And item 5 is the Deputy Director's report for the South Coast District. This was reported yesterday as item 19 for LA and Orange counties. So moving to item number 6, these are the items for the South Coast District, Orange County, that are removed from today's regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff. Again, there's one item. It's 7A508254 TRG investment. And if anyone is here to speak on this item, they should come forward now. The conditions of approval address the coastal issues raised by the proposed Blufftop residence in San Clemente. The applicant has indicated that all the conditions of approval are acceptable. And unless the commission has any questions, staff recommends that the commission approve this item on the consent calendar.
Okay, we have no speaker slips. Commissioner Secord has made a motion to approve the consent calendar. Commissioner Ashajian has seconded it. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
Okay, and that moves us to the San Diego District. And item 9 is the Deputy Director's report for the San Diego District. This is the list of waivers, non-material amendments, extensions, and emergency permits for San Diego. There are 3 de minimis waivers. They're all for the type of development that's routinely approved by the Commission. Therefore, staff recommends the Commission concur with the Executive Director's determination on these matters and approve the Deputy Director's report.
I didn't realize that.
Thank you, staff. Any objections to concurrence with the Executive Director's determination? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And also attached to the district director's report for your information is a copy of the comments that were sent by staff to the Navy on the draft environmental assessment for the Navy Broadway complex site on the bayfront in downtown San Diego. Staff took this opportunity to comment on the environmental assessment to identify what staff sees as potential change circumstances to the project and the surrounding area that may warrant further environmental review and which may result in the project being before the commission for supplemental federal consistency review in the future. Again, that's an informational item for the commission.
Okay, thank you.
And item 9A is the City of Oceanside LCP Amendment 2-08 D Downtown District. This is the completion of the LCP certification process for the City of Oceanside LCP Amendment 2-08. This is to revise the permissible commercial and visitor serving uses, condo hotels, and fractional units within the district in the redevelopment area. By its action on November 19, 2008, the Oceanside City Council adopted a resolution accepting all the suggested modifications as approved by the Commission on July 9, 2008, and the resolution incorporates the modifications into the City's LCP implementation plan. The staff report has an incorrect date for the Commission action. That should be changed to July 9, 2008, and we'll also change the letter to be sent to the City that's shown as the second page of the staff report to reflect the correct Commission action date. Pursuant to our regulations, the executive director must determine whether the city's action is legally adequate and report that determination to the commission. The executive director has reviewed the submittal and determined the city's action is legally adequate and in conformance with the commission's action on the LCP amendment. Therefore, staff recommends the commission concur with the executive director and effectively certify the City of Oceanside LCP Amendment 2-08.
All right. Thank you, staff. Any objections to concurrence with the executive director's determination? Seeing none, the commission concurs.
And item 10, are those items removed from today's regular calendar to the consent calendar by staff? They are item 13D, 608-100, Abbott and Saratoga, and item 13E, 608-107, State Parks. If there is anyone here, again, that wishes to speak on these items, they should come forward now. There is a change to the conditions on item 3D in the addendum addressing public use of the vacated right-of-ways, and that change and all the conditions of approval are acceptable to the applicants. There's no known opposition to these items. Therefore, we recommend that the commission approve these items on the consent calendar.
All right. Thank you, staff. We have no speaker slips on this item. It's the pleasure of the commission.
So moved.
Commissioner Secord, or excuse me, Commissioner Kerr has moved the consent calendar. Commissioner Schallenberger has seconded it. Any objections to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the consent calendar is approved.
And item 11A, the City of Carlsbad LCP Amendment Number 1-07B, Plan Development. The City is proposing to amend its LCP implementation plan, which will modify language in three chapters of the City's zoning ordinance, including the plan development chapter, one addressing parking, and the beach area overlay. The primary intent of this amendment request is to modify the development standards for plan development. And they're described as single-family or twin-home developments on lots less than 7,500 square feet, condominium developments, condominium conversions, and any development that includes in its proposal the construction of a private street. Staff is recommending denial of the proposed implementation plan as submitted and then approval of the proposed amendment with suggested modifications. The suggested modifications included in the recommendation have all been proposed by the City of Carlsbad. Since the time the City first submitted the amendment, it has submitted additional changes to further address the intent of the amendment and make some corrections and clarifications. Because the City has already included the original language in its general plan and has been using these updated policies for development outside the coastal zone, there are various typos and confusing, unclear language that have been identified, which the City has asked us to address through the suggested modifications on the LCP amendment. Staff hasn't identified any coastal issues raised by the submittal or the submitted or the modified language, and there are no other modifications necessary to carry out the certified land use plans for the Carlsbad LCP. The revised standards proposed for plan development address such things as the number of required residential and visitor parking, minimum open space areas, private recreational open space, recreational vehicle storage, building height and setbacks, and a complete list of the changes are on page 10 and 11 of the staff report. These standards often prevent the applicants from constructing the number of units that are needed to reach the minimum density required under the various general plan and zoning designations. And both the city's general plan and state law require that the city shall only approve developments above the minimum density of the underlying land use designation. Many of the policies that could potentially present concerns to public access, such as reductions in visitor parking, or to public views, such as height restrictions, will not be allowed in the coastal portions of the city. And many of the changes result in standards that are still more stringent than other standards in the coastal zone, or in other areas of the city and other coastal cities. So in conclusion, the overall result of this proposed amendment is good. It would minimally modify certain design standards to encourage higher density developments, and this would allow the applicants to reach the planned densities on existing residential lots that will encourage development of existing developed areas, and that can help incorporate smart growth and adjust climate change concerns. And then lastly, the planned developments are not permitted in locations zoned for visitor-serving uses, and therefore we see minimal potential impacts to public recreation or priority uses in the coastal zone. The motions and resolutions for denial as submitted and approval with suggested modifications are on in
page 5
in the staff report. And that concludes my comments.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me look to see if we have any ex parte communications on this item, item 11A. None? Seeing none, we'll bring it back. We have one speaker slip. That is Gary Barbiero from the city of Carlsbad, and that's to answer questions only. Is that correct? Let's see where he is. All right. Great. Thank you. So let me bring it back then to Commissioner Kruer.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission reject the implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad LCPA 1-07B as submitted. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
It's been moved by Commissioner Kruer and seconded by Commissioner Secord. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in rejection of the implementation program and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Oh, I think staff did a very good job analyzing this, and I don't need to say add any more.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Secord? All right. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby denies certification of the implementation program amendment submitted for the City of Carlsbad, LCPA 1-07-B. Second motion?
Madam Chair, I move that the Commission certify the implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad, LCPA 1-07-B, if it is modified as suggested in the staff report, and recommend a yes vote.
Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Kruer, seconded by Commissioner Secord. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the implementation program amendment in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay. Is there any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby certifies the implementation program amendment for the City of Carlsbad, LCPA 1-07B. Thank you.
And item 11B is the City of Encinitas LCP Amendment 1-08, and Gary Cannon from the San Diego office will present this item.
Thank you.
Good morning.
Morning. So
the City of Encinitas is proposing to amend the grading ordinance portion of the city's implementation plan to bring the city's local coastal program into compliance with the California Regional Water Quality Control Board's National Pollution Discharge Elimination System, or NPDS. Municipal stormwater permit. In addition, the city is proposing to incorporate by reference the broad policy provisions and standards of its best management practices manual into the IP. The BMP manual has also been updated to comply with the requirements of the NPDS. The NPDS permit mandates implementation of new revised stormwater protection policies, procedures, requirements, standards, and ordinances to reduce discharges of pollutants and runoff flow resulting from existing and new development. The subject grading ordinance amendment is largely a resubmittal of an amendment proposed in 2003 that was designed to comply with an older NPDS order. At that time, Commission staff expressed concerns with elements of the grading ordinance amendment, and in response, the city withdrew the amendment in order to work with Commission staff to resolve the concerns. Over the last year, the Commission's water quality, engineering, geologic, and regulatory staff have worked with the city in conjunction with the subject amendment request and believe that the subject amendment is overall fully consistent with and adequate to carry out the policies of the certified Encinitas LUP. However, in order to correct one citation error and to emphasize that the proposed IP will be the standard for review and not some unknown future NPDS order, staff is recommending denial of the amendment as submitted and approval with suggested modifications. The city has indicated they are supportive of the proposed suggested modifications. The first suggested modification is that the citation in the BMP manual to the MPDS order of February 2001 be revised to reflect the current order of January 2007. The second suggested modification is the inclusion of a specific requirement at section 23.24.230B of the grading ordinance that all grading permits in the coastal zone comply with MPDS order of January 2007, the 2008 general permit for discharges of stormwater associated with construction activity, and all other provisions of the certified LCP. As so modified, the city's LCP will have sufficient policies and requirements for achieving the long and short range goal of significantly improving the region's water quality. The motions and resolutions for approval as submitted begin on page 4 of your staff report. And this concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, staff. Let me check to see if there are any ex parte communications on this item. Commissioners, seeing none, we have no speaker slips, so we'll go to Commissioner Kruer.
Madam Chair, thank you. I move that the Commission reject the implementation program amendment for the City of Encinitas certified LCP as submitted and recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Kruer, a second by Commissioner Potter. The maker and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in rejection of the implementation program and adoption of the findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Kruer?
No, I think staff did a very good job in their presentation.
All right, Commissioner Potter? No? All right. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the Commission hereby denies certification of the implementation program amendment submitted for the City of Encinitas certified LCP. Commissioner Kruer?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I move the Commission certify the implementation program amendment for the City of Encinitas certified LCP if it is modified as suggested in this staff report and recommend a yes vote.
We have a motion by Commissioner Kruer and a second by Commissioner Potter. The maker and seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in certification of the implementation program amended with its amendment with the suggested modifications. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, thank you, Madam Chair.
Okay, Commissioner Potter, no. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion passes and the Commission hereby certifies the implementation program amendment for the City of Encinitas certified LCP. And before we take the next item, staff, I wanted to introduce the new commissioner who is here from the State Lands Commission, Jennifer Lucchesi. And welcome, Jennifer. And would you like to say a few words?
No, just thank you for having me.
All right. We're pleased to have you here. And please speak up if we can answer any questions during the meeting. All right. Thank you. Thanks, staff.
And item 12, A6ENC0754, the Stallman and Alban appeal. There is an addendum on this item that includes a minor revision to the staff report. And Gary Cannon will present both the staff recommendation on substantial issue and the de novo review.
Thank you. This is the appeal of a project approved by the City of Encinitas for subdivision of two adjoining residential lots totaling approximately 4.23 acres. Into four residential lots. The proposed development site is located on the west side of El Camino Real, adjacent to Lux Creek, an open channel that contains wetlands. The project, as approved by the city, allowed for a wetlands buffer that varied from 10 feet to 55 feet in width. Ms. Donna Westbrook appealed the local decision, asserting, among other things, that a 50-foot minimum wetlands buffer is not consistent with the LCP standard and that the required buffer could be accommodated on site. Subsequent to the appeal, the applicants have redesigned the proposed subdivision to include a 50-foot wetlands buffer. Therefore, in order to incorporate the revised buffer into the approved CDP, staff is recommending the commission find substantial issue and approve the project with special conditions. The applicants have demonstrated, as shown on Exhibits 5 and 6 of the staff report, that the wetlands buffer and any necessary fuel modification zone that impacts native vegetation are identical to the development of the existing two residential lots or the proposed four-lot scenario. As designed and conditioned, no adverse impacts to Esha will result from the proposed subdivision request. Staff is recommending approval of the development with conditions that include approval from the City of Encinitas for the redesigned subdivision, final fire department approved fuel modification plans, final grading and drainage control plans, an open space deed restriction over the wetlands and wetlands buffer, and a condition that requires any future landscaping be native and non-invasive. Both the appellant and the applicants concur with the staff recommendation. The motion and resolution for substantial issue starts on page 3, and the motion and resolution for approval with conditions are on page 10 of the staff report. This concludes my comments.
Okay, let me check first to see if there are any ex parte communications on this item. Commissioner Shajian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January 5th at 4 p.m., I received a phone call from Ms. Susan McCabe, who gave me a brief description of the project that as an applicant, they were in agreement with the staff's recommendation and did help me make myself familiar with the issue of the appellant that brings forward of protection of riparian wetland at an adjacent creek and impact to the coastal sage, that the project has a setback of 50 feet from the wetland and an open space deed restrictions will be recorded over the wetlands and buffer. Even though the CSS was not determined to be Esha, the project has been conditioned by the city to require mitigation for CSS impacts at 2-to-1 rate.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My ex parte is on file.
Okay. My ex parte is on file as well. Anyone else? Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. The ex parte is on file.
All right. Commissioner Blank?
My ex parte is on file with Susan McCabe.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Clark?
Me too.
Okay. That was Commissioner Potter for the record. Commissioner Clark?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. My ex parte is not on file. I had a brief conversation on Tuesday with Susan McCabe, who described the project background and history and the issues raised by the appellant with protection of riparian wetlands. Thank you.
Okay. All right. So let me just ask, do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue? Seeing none, substantial issue has been found. And then we'll go to the de novo part of the hearing, and we have one speaker slip, and that is from Mark Stammer.
One of the applicants, Carl Stammer, Tony
okay.
Alban, speaking on behalf.
And, all right. Really, how much time would you like?
I'm going to take about 2 minutes. We'd like to reserve the rest just for questions. We just want to make ourselves available for questions.
Okay, we'll give you three just to be okay. on
we
the safe side.
We fully just want to say we accept the staff report and all the conditions. We think staff worked really hard, and we think it's we accept the proposal and want to move forward. And have our biologists, if there's any questions that come up, we make ourselves available for those.
All right. Thank you very much, Mr. Stammer. We'll bring it back to staff. Do you have anything further?
Nothing further.
Okay, then we'll look to Commissioner Kruer.
Okay. Motion's on page... What?
10.
10? Okay, I couldn't find it there.
Page 3.
Page 10. We already found substantial issue.
I know. Yeah, I was looking for the de novo one. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission approve Coastal Development Permit Number A6, ENC-07-054. Pursuant to the staff recommendation, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. A motion by Commissioner Kruger, second by Commissioner Shajian. They're both recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion, Commissioner Kruger?
No, thank you, Madam Chair. I think staff did a good job.
And Commissioner Shajian?
No, ma'am.
All right. Any objection to a unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion passes and the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development. Thank you. Next item.
Next item is 12C, and could I have the PowerPoint on this item, please? This is an appeal by the Citizens for Preservation of Parks and Beaches and the Commission of a City of Oceanside decision to approve a property line adjustment affecting the Marina Towers leasehold within the Oceanside Harbor District. The notice of final action for the coastal development permit, as approved by the city, indicates the lot line adjustment is to facilitate the sale of the property per a purchase and sales agreement with the Marina Towers Association. And all the parcels affected by the lot line adjustment are currently owned by the City of Oceanside, who is the applicant. I'd like to draw your attention to the addendum. There are revisions to the staff report and two letters of opposition and a parking study submitted by the representative from the Marina Towers development. The first slide shows the location of the Marina Towers leasehold and the surrounding area. The site is west of Interstate 5 and inland of the marina within the Oceanside Harbor District. And slide number 2, if you could please advance them for me, is this is not the PowerPoint that I believe I gave to you. Can you, could you go back to the slide before that?
I just have one. Just one.
Yeah. No. Could you advance it to the next slide? Yeah. This isn't the correct PowerPoint. So I'll just keep going. Yeah, staff is recommending that the commission find substantial issue on the appeal and approve the lot line adjustment with special conditions. And I'll present the recommendation for both the substantial issue and the de novo at this time. This is a continuance of the substantial issue hearing that was opened and continued by the commission at the September commission meeting. The applicant, the City of Oceanside, waived the 49 days for the commission action verbally at the September hearing in order to allow additional time for the council to take action on an amendment to the coastal development permit with the goal of addressing the commission's concerns regarding the public use of the public parking lot adjacent to the parcel containing the Marina Towers building, which could be conveyed to private ownership as a result of this lot line adjustment. Okay, could you advance to the next slide? Currently, because the Marina Towers does not have more than one parking space per unit in the private parking garage, the residents utilize the adjacent public parking lot for the extra vehicles, including their additional autos, RVs, boat trailers, etc. And access to the private garage is across the public parking lot. The parking lot is not signed as a public lot and has not been treated by the city in terms of its typical notification as a public lot up to this time. To clarify, the lot line adjustment is what is before the commission on appeal. And this slide, which is slide number 2, shows how the sliver parcel containing one-third of the public parking is being adjusted to combine with the remaining two-thirds of the parking lot as part of a much larger parcel consisting of the tidelands within the northern portion of the marina. Do you have the pointer? Oh, I can use this. I'm not getting the pointer to to point it out to you, but there's a very small orange area that is being connected to the larger yellow parcel of the northern part of the marina. And then also the lot line adjustment. Also, the lot line adjustment would separate the southern tail end of this parcel, which contains state tidelands, from the Marina Towers parcel, and it will become part of the larger parcel, which comprises the southern part of the marina. And that's on the lower part here. Therefore, the lot line adjustment affects the boundaries of the two adjacent and much larger parcels that make up the Oceanside Harbor and Marina. If any portion of a site is affected by a lot line adjustment, it is within the Commission Appeals jurisdiction, and all of the affected parcels are within the Commission's Appeals jurisdiction. I'll focus my comments on the concerns related to the public parking lot and how they were addressed by the Council in its action on the permit amendment. Staff coordinated with the city staff prior to the council action and recommended several conditions of approval. The conditions were approved by the city on the coastal development permit as amended. That the conditions that were approved by the city include the property owner containing the property containing the public parking lot shall be reserved for public parking, that the lot clearly delineate 50 parking spaces reserved for public use, that the Marina Towers sign at the entrance of the public parking lot be removed, and that standard public parking lot signage be placed along Harbor Drive and within the public parking lot, identifying it as public parking, that the city provide notification of the availability of public spaces at this location, that the city be responsible for maintenance and enforcement of the parking spaces, and lastly, that the Marina Towers residents and guests shall not be entitled to or be provided with any special rights for use of the public parking lot. Staff had also recommended a restriction on overnight parking to deter long-term or 24-hour use of the parking by the Marina Towers residents, but the city declined to include an overnight restriction. Again, I'll call your attention to the addendum. The letters from the Marina Towers representative indicates that the only remaining concern with the staff recommendation is the restriction on overnight parking. They are opposed to the overnight restriction because they indicate only a handful, approximately 8 to 10 of the residents, utilize the lot for overnight parking, and that's not a significant impact on public access. And we agree that the overnight use per se is not the concern because the impact to public access at that time would be less. The concern is that there is no deterrent to long-term use by the residents of the public parking lot. With a 72-hour restriction, a resident could simply move his or her car or vehicle every 3 days. And we understand the parking study indicates underutilization of the lot in today's conditions, but first we believe that that's underutilization is most likely due to the fact that the lot doesn't function as a public lot at this time. And second, the study is based on current demand, which could change significantly in the future depending on the redevelopment of the harbor. Also, there could be greater residential demand for the lot should the sale of the parcel and the Marina Towers development occur. And as a public resource, any existing public parking supply should be maximized and maintained. In the addendum, the staff has made an attempt to address allowance for some residential overnight use, and we've proposed a parking sticker program that would be issued by the city and administered by Marina Towers to the residents that need the overnight parking. We have limited that number to up to 10, and that would be consistent with what the Marina Towers representative indicates is the residential parking demand. Other conditions require a final parking plan clearly indicating the public and private spaces in the surface lot. The condition allows for restriping to accommodate parking for the disabled, but requires the city to maximize the number of spaces provided. The city action requires a minimum of 50 surface spaces for public use and allows 15 to be designated for private use. Special condition 1 also reiterates the city's requirements for signage and notification as a public lot. Special condition number 4 requires acknowledgement by any future property owners of the fact there is only one parking space per unit and the public lot is not available for private residential use. Again, I focus mainly on what we see as the significant issue related to public parking, and its long-term use and viability as a public parking lot. Other grounds for appeal include the potential effect of the lot line adjustment on the leasehold status of the parcel as described in the Harbor Precise Plan, which is a component of the city's land use plan. The lot line adjustment is to allow sale of the property to private ownership, and that would potentially affect the leasehold status identified in the plan. We think that if the parcel is sold and the leasehold status changes, the LCP should be updated to reflect that change. However, we agree that the change in ownership is not what requires a coastal development permit, and it may or may not occur as a result of the lot line adjustment. With the conditions, the potential effect of such a change on the ownership to a more long-term residential use on the adjacent parking lot, we think, is adequately addressed. The lot line adjustment doesn't affect the ability of the residential use to be changed in the future to a visitor-serving use or another use that's more compatible with the Harbor District. So to conclude, we recommend that the Commission find substantial issue and approve the project with the conditions as recommended. In this case, we feel the action is clearly appealable. There are portions of the parcels that are between the sea and the first public roadway. There are portions within 300 feet of the end and extent of the harbor, which is the main tide line in the area, and there are portions of the site that are public trust lands. Both the actions, the one that was originally taken by the City Council and the amendment, were to one permit. There is only one permit before the Commission on appeal. And again, we feel that it's clearly before the Commission. And
I have some comments.
Peter has some comments.
I just have some summary comments. As you recall, when this matter was before you before, the applicant was arguing against substantial issue, and the question that came up, as Commissioner Riley, I seem to recall, focused in on the question of whether or not the mean high tide line actually had been established as the applicant had indicated out at the mouth of the harbor and not around the interior of the harbor. We have a letter from State Lands indicating that they did not make a determination of where the mean high tide line is inside the harbor. So the action that they took did not say anything about the inland portion of the public trust lands inside the harbor. So from our perspective, clearly this is within the 300 feet of the mean high tide line and therefore is appealable. And I'm not sure that that's still an issue, I hope not. But we also then tried to follow the direction from the commission and our attempt to try to resolve this so that we bring a solution to you that would enable us to go recommend no substantial issue. And frankly, I'm at a loss to understand why that didn't happen, because we've gone a long way to accommodate some of the residents who need overnight parking that isn't available in the garage of the tower. And I just don't understand why that wasn't acceptable, and now we're here having to go substantial issue and deal with it de novo. And our concern is privatizing the parking lot. It's a public parking lot. It ought to be available for the public. We're not concerned about overnight parking, and that's why I think the sticker program works, so that the residents who need to have overnight parking can park their cars out there, and the enforcement entity would realize that these are residents and not members of the public who are parking overnight. They would just have to move the cars during the day. That seems to us to be a very reasonable compromise, and I just am at a loss to understand why that wasn't accepted by the city. So with that, Madam Chair, we finished our presentation.
All right. Thank you, staff. Let me check with the commission to see if there are any ex parte communications. Commissioner Kruer?
Yes, I'm minor on file, but I do have one that occurred on January 5th. I met with Dave Grubb, Graham Forbes, Bruce Resnick, and they recommended the conditions, the staff position, and will preserve public use of parking spaces, and they recommended their approach.
Thank you. Minor on file. Anyone else? Mr.
Madam
Riley?
Chair. Thank you, Madam Chair. My ex parte is on file as well.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Huesel?
Yes, on January 5th at 12 noon, I met with Dave Grubb and Gabe Solmar, and they support the staff recommendation relating to the restrictions on the parking lot. My staff member, Alonzo Gonzalez, also spoke with Susan McCabe, Steve Kaufman, and Lou Lightfoot on Monday, January 5th. The applicant agrees to improve the signage at the public parking lot near the towers. They express a concern that the restriction of overnight parking will have the unintended effect of residents parking in lots that are more convenient to visitors. Another point is that the project should actually be outside of the Coastal Appeal jurisdiction for a number of reasons. On January 7th at 1 p.m., I conducted a site visit with Oceanside Councilmember Esther Sanchez. She mentioned that the overnight prohibition would not create new parking spaces for the area, since it would actually take up spaces in the areas that are used more by visitors. Also, that parking deficits are existent during daytime hours of certain days of the week, and that this proposal would not solve the problem of a lack of parking during the day. Also, she showed me several opportunities to create motorcycle and bicycle opportunities that will create increased opportunities for the public to access the area. And she also talked about recreational vehicles, how they are not frequent users of this area for parking. So this lot would not be necessarily used by park owners at night, thereby not really needing a fix for the kind of the nighttime situation.
Thank you. Commissioner Lucchesi?
On December 18th, pursuant to a request by Steve Kaufman, counsel for the Marina Towers Association, I emailed him a copy of the letter that State Lands wrote to Coastal Council on December 18th, as well as I emailed him copies of three title settlement agreements that the State Lands Commission had previously entered into in the area.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Shajian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January 5th, in the late afternoon hours, I was on a conference call with Ms. McCabe and Lou Lightfoot. Again, I received a brief description of the project. Part of the discussion was concerning the parking lot, its daytime use and nighttime use. And also, I was made aware that the appeal jurisdiction's issues concerning the first public road tidelands and the mean high tide line. The applicant is requesting that the commission find it doesn't have appeal jurisdiction or to eliminate the overnight parking restrictions. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Blank?
On January 5th at about 4:45, I had a phone call with Susan McCabe. Went through a series of issues, as Commissioner Akachian just described, starting with commission jurisdiction, which I found amusing, and then went through the issue of whether there was a substantial issue here or not, and then went through the parking issues, the lot line adjustment issues, and Ms. McCabe articulated the issues raised in their December 30th letters and handouts to the commission.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Potter?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I had a conversation with Susan McCabe on Tuesday, identical to that just described by my colleague, Commissioner Blank.
Thank you. Commissioner Clark?
I didn't find it amusing.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On Tuesday the 6th at approximately 11:45, I had a brief discussion with Susan McCabe, basically along the lines my colleagues have described in their ex partes, indicating, in essence, their one remaining applicant issue was the overnight parking condition that's been discussed by staff.
Thank you. Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January the 5th, I had substantially the same conversation with Susan McCabe as reported by Commissioners Blank and Ashajan, and I believe there was a Lou Lightfoot on that conference call and Steve Kaufman.
All right. That concludes all of the ex partes then. Let me ask the commission, do three or more commissioners object to the finding of substantial issue?
I do.
We have one? Okay.
I'd like to speak to that if I can.
All right. Commissioner Blank?
At least for me, and I just reviewed the video. At least for me, after reviewing the video of at least what I said and some of the other commissioners said, at least my charge to the staff and the applicant was to go back and deal with these issues. I know that the executive director made clear his pile was the lot line adjustment, but for mine and I think some of my other fellow commissioners, was it was just the parking issue. And when I looked at what the applicant and staff and city have come up with now, is that, at least for me, I think this has been addressed. And I think specifically Commissioner Schellenberger asked Executive Director Douglas, as well, would we have to have another hearing, or would this be addressed if there were Coastal Act violations? And at least when I reviewed the tape, Executive Director Douglas said, no, it's, you know, we could take care of that with Coastal Act. So I'm satisfied that there's no substantial issue now and that they've taken care of it. So that's my reasoning.
All right. Commissioner Kruger?
Yes, I would. I agree with that also, and because I thought the main issue left, that this could be worked out, because the very idea of the this one last issue, to me, is kind of silly, the ban on overnight parking. The last thing you want to do if you have a project and you have public parking and access, this is on a total different elevation, is to ban public parking up there. That'll force the people who live there to move down closer to the harbor and really affect the coastal resources a lot more. And you don't, sometimes you don't want to do those things. In this case, for sure you don't want to do it, because the result is going to be just the opposite of what you're trying to protect. So I think it, I don't see a substantial issue here, and I think it's been worked out. And I absolutely think that staff did a good job working it out to here, but this last issue is silly to me.
It's well, it looks like we have three commissioners that are objecting to the finding of substantial issues, so we should just go to that hearing then and not have these discussions.
Madam Chair, who's the third?
Me. Secord.
Okay. I think there are four hands that I see up now. So I think that there are objections to the finding of substantial issue, and so we need to actually go to the hearing on that item. And now, let me go back to staff, make sure we're
before I turn it back to Sherilyn, let me just note that the issue, only issue really that's left, is parking on the public parking lot by the residents. And we don't have an objection to them parking there overnight, and we don't even mind eliminating the overnight parking restriction altogether, as long as they implement a sticker program so that they can tell that the people who are parking overnight are residents. And then during the day, you can also tell whether or not the residents are parking in a public lot. But to not have those safeguards, basically, we're opening the door to privatizing a public parking lot next to a public resource. And that's our concern. And that's why, that's the only reason we're suggesting a substantial issue is here, because you need to, we think, impose those conditions. And you can't do that unless you find substantial issue.
Okay. Let me ask the city if we could get a comment from them with regard to what the staff just said.
And Madam Chair, is the city the applicant?
Yes. City of Oceanside, yes.
Okay.
Good morning, Honorable Chair, members of the Commission. I do appreciate Mr. Douglas and actually Sherilyn's attempt to come up with a...
Could you give your name for the record, please?
Peter Weiss, City of Oceanside. I do appreciate their efforts to come up with a compromise. The concern we have with, and I understand the issue of privatizing that particular lot, the concern we have, though, is by putting in an overnight restriction in a coastal lot, we think it's somewhat counterproductive to providing maximum public access to a coastal resource. We would be concerned with overnight restrictions on any of our coastal lots. In fact, we have resisted pressure from the public to implement those restrictions. So although we understand the issue of the privatization of the lot...
We just wanted you to respond to what the we're going to have the hearing on this, and we're going to let you make your presentation. We just wondered if, you know,
if you could respond...
Sticker program, we would have to consult with Mr. Kaufman to see if that's acceptable to the residents.
You wanted us to take a break so that you can consult with Mr. Kaufman, and then... Why don't we take a 10-minute break, and then we'll reconvene.
Yeah. And Chair, before you do that, let me just make clear to Mr. Weiss that we will eliminate the overnight parking restriction. That's not...
Okay, why don't you talk with them now while we're taking a break?
Yeah, he didn't hear that, I don't think. Yeah.
I don't think we should...
force the city to hire a staff person to administer one program for 15 spaces?
Thank you.
Who's this from?
Okay, with regard to item 12C, staff is still working with the applicants on this item, so we're going to trail it and go ahead and take the next item, and we'll hear 12C, we'll finish that up a little later today. So if I may, then we'll look to staff for the next, to go ahead and present on the next item. We're trailing item 12C at this time, and we'll move to the next item.
Yes, and item 12D is the T-Mobile appeal, and Diana Lilly from our San Diego office will present this item.
All right, thank you.
Thank you. The subject appeal involves installation of a 53-foot-high telecommunications facility consisting of 6-panel antenna mounted on a faux palm tree next to a mixed-use multifamily residential complex. The project is located on the inland side of Seacoast Drive across from Pier Plaza in the city of Imperial Beach. The project appellants contend that the proposed development is inconsistent with the policies of the certified LCP that pertain to minimizing visual impacts and examining alternatives to telecommunication facilities. Staff is recommending that the commission find the development is consistent with the certified LCP and that no substantial issue exists. Consistent with the LCP, the facility will be located approximately 150 feet inland of the First Coastal roadway. The structure will be disguised as a palm tree and will not block any public views. An extensive alternatives analysis determined that the project will not have any adverse impacts on coastal resources while obtaining the project objective of increasing cell phone coverage. The project does not contain raise any concerns of statewide significance. Therefore, staff recommends the commission find the project does not raise a substantial issue. This concludes staff's presentation.
All right, thank you, staff. Let me look to the commission on this. We're on item 12D now, and I want to know if anyone has any ex parte communications. Any commissioners with ex partes on 12D? This is not 12C. We are trailing that, in case you didn't hear that announcement.
Oh, no.
So this is on 12D. Do we have any speaker slips on 12D? Okay. All right. No ex partes. We have no speaker slips on 12D, and we have a motion on page 4. Oh, we do have a speaker slip. Hold on just a moment then. Okay, we do have a speaker slip. It just says item 12, but it, Kevin Becker, are you here on item 12D? All right. How much time would you like, sir? 3 minutes?
I'm Kevin Becker, representing T-Mobile. I don't need time. I'm here just to answer questions as needed.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Okay.
All right. Back to the commission. We have a motion on page 4.
Madam Chair, I move that the Commission determine that appeal number A6IMB08121 raises no substantial issues with respect to the grounds on which the appeal has been filed under 30603 of the Coastal Act. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Ashajian, second by Commissioner Secord. They're both recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in a finding of no substantial issue and adoption of the resolution and findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
No, ma'am.
Commissioner Secord, no. Are there any other comments from commissioners or any questions? Seeing none, is there?
Chair?
Oh, yes,
did,
Commissioner Blank.
Did you ask whether there was ex parte?
Yes, I did.
I'm sorry.
Did you have one you want to put on?
I have them on file.
Okay, thank you so much. All right. Anyone else I missed? All right, so we have a motion and a second. Any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the commission finds that appeal number A-6-1MB-08-121 does not present a substantial issue with respect on which the appeal has been filed. Very good. All right.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And the next item, 13A, is the Lane Field appeal. There is a PowerPoint on this item as well as an addendum. And Diana Lilly from our San Diego office will present this item.
Thank you. The subject project involves redevelopment of the former Lane Field site in downtown San Diego. The development includes construction of 2 hotel towers with a total of 800 rooms, ballrooms, meeting rooms, and approximately 80,000 square feet of visitor-serving retail and restaurants. The project is located on the inland side of Harbor Drive, north of Broadway Street, on tidelands in the Port of San Diego's jurisdiction. Staff is recommending approval of the project with special conditions addressing public access, transit, water quality, and landscaping. There is an addendum for this project which clarifies several requirements and the water quality standards that this project will meet. The primary issues raised by the subject development relate to the Port Master Plan and Coastal Act requirements to protect and provide public access and lower-cost visitor-serving facilities. The proposed project would construct a variety of high-priority visitor uses on an existing 880-space surface public parking lot. The proposed parking garage would have 300 public parking spaces beyond that necessary to serve the proposed development. Thus, the project would actually result in 580 fewer parking spaces available to downtown and waterfront visitors. The proposed removal of existing parking, combined with a significant increase in the intensity of development of the site, is more than sufficient to trigger the provision of new transit linkages from the development to and along the waterfront. The project also includes the construction of 800 luxury hotel rooms on a prime waterfront location that could otherwise be used for more affordable accommodations available to a wide range of the public. Originally, the project did not include any offsetting mitigation measures that would promote lower cost overnight accommodations. Therefore, the Port District, the applicant, and Commission staff have worked together to develop two important components of the project: a new multimodal transit opportunity plan and a revised public access program. In addition, can we do the next slide, please? I can't make it go. Thank you. In addition to describing employee and guest mass transit incentives and opportunities, the multimodal transit plan includes implementation of a public bayfront shuttle service during the summer, and the preliminary route is shown here. Unlike many cities along California's shoreline, San Diego does not have any kind of a shuttle service for visitors to the downtown bayfront. There are several transit systems that bring people downtown, but once there, there's currently no easy to get around and along the waterfront. Special conditions on the permit require that the applicant operate a summer shuttle daily from June 1st through August 31st for 3 years or until such time as a regional system is put into place. The shuttle will consist of two or more vehicles available to hotel guests and members of the general public. For the first 3 years of operation, the shuttle will be provided at low cost to all riders. After 3 years, the shuttle could be extended or discontinued, but only through an amendment to the coastal development permit. This downtown shuttle system is expected to be a first step in providing both tourists and residents a real alternative to using individual vehicles to get around the downtown shoreline. The shuttle is not intended to be an airport shuttle. There is an existing bus line from the Santa Fe station to the airport, and the hotel will have an airport shuttle for guests. This shuttle is proposed to offset the additional impact the development will have on public access and circulation, and should significantly improve the ability of visitors and residents to access the downtown waterfront during the peak summer season. Next slide, please. No significant impacts to public access are anticipated during construction because there are approximately 3,700 public parking spaces in the vicinity of Lane Field. These lots will be used for construction parking and should be able to accommodate much of the demand for public parking during the construction period. In addition, the Port District is working directly with the cruise ship operators to direct cruise ship passengers to off-site lots. This kind of short-term impact was anticipated during build-out of the North Embarcadero. Overall, the parking management and program for the area and development on Lane Field specifically is expected to significantly improve access opportunities in and around the site. Next slide, please. In addition to the shuttle program, a detailed Lane Field public access program has been developed as a condition of the permit that lays out public access corridors, plazas, viewing terraces, and other features that will be provided throughout the development, plus the required public access signage and the hours of operation for the public areas. This plan will ensure that public access and recreational opportunities are available in association with the hotel and retail uses, which are themselves high-priority visitor-serving uses. Next slide, please. The project involves construction of high-end luxury hotel rooms, which can be exclusory. The room rate at the proposed hotel is expected to be in the high $200 per night range. When exclusive visitor accommodations are located on public tidelands, they occupy area that would otherwise be available for lower-cost visitor and public recreation facilities. Thus, in consultation with Commission staff, the applicant and the Port District have developed an innovative program to fund and construct a new nonprofit hostel in the downtown region, providing a minimum of 400 beds. This minimum number was derived from the Commission's past practice of requiring a mitigation fee based on a percentage of the number of high-cost units being constructed. The subject development is for 800 hotel rooms. Thus, the Commission would typically require that a mitigation fee be assessed for 25% of the rooms, or 200 rooms, to offset the cost of constructing new lower-cost accommodations. However, hostels often have varying room sizes that can accommodate different numbers of people. So in this particular case, the applicant is required to construct a hostel with a minimum of 400 beds, because 200 hotel rooms would typically have 400 beds. It is expected that 400 beds can be accommodated in approximately 133 hostel rooms, thus providing a significant increase in the number of low-cost accommodations in the coastal zone in the city of San Diego. The plan acknowledges that developing a new hostel will take several years to implement, requiring a development program, a suitable site, entitlements under CEQA and the Port Master Plan, and design and construction. However, a strict and fairly aggressive timetable for meeting particular project goals is included in the plan. If an appropriate site cannot be found within specific time limits outlined in the permit, a mitigation fee of $30,000 for 25% of the 800 units constructed must be paid. That works out to be $6 million. The plan requires that the executive director be involved in the hostel site selection, and if at any point the timelines are not met, there are strict reporting requirements which can trigger the payment of the mitigation fee. The commission will be directly involved in the approval of the hostel, as construction of a hostel will require both the Port Master Plan amendment and an appealable port permit. With regard to water quality, the Coastal Commission's water quality staff have reviewed the site investigation reports and water quality plans for the Lanefield site. As noted in the addendum, the project includes a runoff control system designed to capture and treat all dry weather runoff from landscape irrigation, treat 100% of storm water from an 85th percentile storm event, and minimize pollutants. Staff has concluded that the system of construction BMPs, site design, source control, and treatment control BMPs will adequately protect the San Diego Bay resources from stormwater and dry water runoff. In addition, the site cleanup and construction activities will be closely regulated by both state and local agencies. In particular, the staff of the San Diego Regional Water Quality Control Board will be providing regulatory oversight of the environmental investigations and any cleanup activities required at the site. In conclusion, the proposed project would significantly increase the density and intensity of use along the waterfront. However, the downtown urban setting has the infrastructure and mass transit linkages appropriate to serve the high-density, visitor-serving hotel and retail uses proposed on the site. Mitigation for impacts to public access and circulation will be provided. No impacts to water quality or public views will occur. Therefore, staff is recommending approval of the proposed project. This concludes staff's presentation.
Thank you, staff. Let me check first to see if we have any ex parte communications on item 13A. Commissioner Kruger?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. Mine are on file, but I do have one that happened on January 5th in La Jolla, California. I met with Dave Grubb, Graham Forbes of here, the local union, and Bruce Resnick, and they were supporting staff recommendation on this project.
All right, thank you. Any other ex parte? Commissioner Juan?
Yes, I received a phone call from Graham Forbes on Tuesday the 6th in the evening, and he indicated that they were pleased with many of the changes that had been made, that they were not opposed to the project, but that he asked me to review their letter, which I believe everyone has, and deal with and look at some of the few remaining concerns that they had that they felt improved the project.
Thank you. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My ex partes are on file.
Thank you. Any other commissioners? Commissioner Huisel?
Yes, I met with David Grubb, Gabriel Solmar, and Graham Forbes on Monday, January 5th at 12:15 p.m. They expressed the need to clarify and complete the multimodal transit opportunity promotion plan and the public access program and to mitigate construction impacts. Also, my staff member, Alonzo Gonzalez, spoke with Susan McCabe on Monday, January 5th, The applicant had concerns with conditions relating to timing of permit issuance, condition compliance responsibility, and drought-tolerant landscaping requirements. However, they are hopeful that these concerns will be addressed at the staff addendum.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Lucchesi, did you have a ex parte? No? Okay. Commissioner Ashajian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January 5th, I had a teleconference with Ms. McCabe, and she updated me on recent efforts to work with staff on the de novo consideration of the project, and that they were in agreement with the recommendation of approval, but had concerns with conditions relating to the timing of the permit issuance, condition compliance responsibility, and drought-tolerant landscaping requirements. She spoke of the benefits of the project to the community, including the establishment of new visitor-serving uses, extensive public open space, locals overnight accommodations, and the Bayfront Shuttle Program, as reported by the staff, and that the applicant was continuing to work with staff to modify a few of the special conditions. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Blank?
My ex parte was substantively identical to Commissioner Akashi. Right.
Mr. Potter?
And so is mine, exactly right. The same.
Mr. Clark?
Thank you, Madam Chair. This Tuesday, the 6th, at approximately 11:45, I had a brief discussion with Susan McCabe on this matter. To wit, it was identical in terms of the input as provided by Commissioner Asajian. This morning, I sat next to Penny Alia from the Sierra Club in the audience, and she indicated support for the staff recommendation on this project. Thank you.
All right. Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January the 5th, I had a conference call with Susan McCabe, and basically essentially the same things that were discussed with Commissioners Achajan and Blank.
All right, thank you.
And the ex parte is on file.
All right, and my ex partes are on file as well. Thank you. We only have two speaker slips on this. Steve Cushman from San Diego Unified Port District, and John Helmer from the Port of San Diego, who's here to answer questions only. So, Mr. Cushman, how much time would you like, sir?
How about 2 minutes?
All right, let's give you three.
Thank you very much. Good morning, Chair Neely and Commissioners. I'm Steve Cushman, Chairman of the Port of San Diego. Thank you and your staff for all your cooperation on this project over the last year. We truly appreciate all the help that you have been as we've moved this project forward. We recognize that as a result of the Commission's finding at its November 2008 hearing, the Commission has jurisdiction over the lane fill permit. As Chairman of the Board of Port Commissioners, I want to assure you that we are committed to partnering with you on this project to make it happen. As you contemplate your decision today, please consider the positive impact this project will have on this uncertain economy. This project will create over 2,000 permanent jobs and provide $12 million on an annual basis to the City of San Diego. This project also establishes the framework, This project also establishes a framework for providing a youth hostel on state tidelands for the first time, and also a provision for a waterfront shuttle. We understand through this process that you will control very important issues pertaining to the permit. The port will do its part to enforce all the special conditions that are a part of this permit. We have the mechanism to ensure compliance with the conditions through the lease agreement. We have the necessary staff and resources to monitor and enforce compliance with the permit, such as port staff from engineering and construction, real estate, and land use planning documents. I would like to introduce Donna Jones, who represents Lane Field, to provide you with a detailed overview of the project.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Donna Jones.
Thank you, and I would like to request 8 minutes, if that's possible.
Okay. Thank you.
Good afternoon. I'm Donna Jones of Shepherd Mullen, representing the applicant, Lane Field San Diego Developers. First, I'd like to thank your staff for working so closely with us over these past 12 months, allowing us to bring before you a recommendation of approval of a coastal development permit, which we can fully support, and one that assures adequate parking, protection of water quality, San Diego's first Bayfront shuttle, and a 400-bed hostel on Port Tidelands in the City of San Diego's coastal zone. Lanefield will provide 800 hotel rooms and 80,000 square feet of visitor-serving retail, yet is substantially less dense and less intrusive on the skyline, as can be seen on this slide, than the project allowed by the certified master EIR. And because of the building's east-west orientation, Lanefield provides better view corridors than the project you conceptually approved in 2001. Lanefield's retail, restaurants, and lobby entrances will be easily accessible to the public. Its minor deviation for upper floor step backs accommodates street level public elevators on Harbor Drive with no impact to visual quality. The project brings activated public terraces, extra wide sidewalks, prolongation of C Street, and a new 2-acre public plaza to San Diego's waterfront. Some have expressed concern about the availability of parking during the project's construction or operation. Rest assured, Lanefield's parking impacts are fully addressed. About 75% of the people that use Lanefield today are associated with the cruise ship industry. Once Lanefield's construction begins, they will begin following a program already in place, which accommodates cruise ship passengers and employees at remote lots and shuttles them directly to the cruise terminal. In addition, Five Star Parking, the project's parking operator, will accommodate construction parking demand in the almost 4,000 spaces which exist around Lanefield. While it initially considered using the airport employees' parking lot on Harbor Drive, Five Star's final plan does not rely on that lot and instead uses the 884 spaces that are vacant and available today on the average workday in the five nearby lots and structures as shown on this slide, which will fully accommodate the interim parking demand. Project operational parking demand will be met on-site. Our planned underground parking structure will contain more than 1,300 parking spaces. In addition, Lanefield's conditions require that it be fully parked at peak demand and, in addition, provide 300 public spaces at all times. An independent study sponsored by the Port confirms that all project parking demands will be satisfied. Lanefield is within easy walking distance of multiple transit connections and services, as shown on this slide. It is easily reached by Coaster and Amtrak, the San Diego Trolley, multiple bus routes, and water transit. In addition, it will provide a permanent on-call shuttle to the airport and San Diego's first Bayfront shuttle. The Bayfront shuttle will significantly improve visitors' access to the waterfront during the peak summer season. Lanefield will fund a market feasibility and demand study assessing the shuttle's effectiveness for your evaluation. And the shuttle can be terminated if and only if you agree it's no longer needed and grant an amendment to our coastal development permit. Lanefield includes a program to substantially advance the Coastal Commission's interest in growing the inventory of low-priced accommodations in the coastal zone. In recent years, in furtherance of that goal, you have conditioned many hotel projects to pay in lieu fees. These fees would be used sometime in the future to acquire as yet unidentified land where low-cost accommodations may one day be built, but they don't generally result in immediate construction of such accommodations. In contrast, Lanefield provides a specific plan for such construction, with built-in milestones and a set timetable to ensure a site is selected in a timely manner, appropriate CEQA analysis is performed, and design and construction of the hostel is begun within staff-established deadlines. Lanefield already has a memorandum of understanding with Hosteling International. The permit before you today contains a condition that requires us to identify a site and complete a feasibility analysis within 12 months of issuance of our permit. Then, Lanefield must fund half the construction cost of an up to 400-bed hostel. This equals 200 hotel rooms, or 25% of the rooms proposed by the project, a formula based on Hosteling International's financial pro forma, and which takes into account a hostel's varying in room sizes. This is the same formula you've used on previous projects. Approval of Lanefield will provide low-cost accommodations more quickly than will be achieved through payment of an in-lieu fee. However, if the hostel is not built, we will pay a $6 million in-lieu fee, guaranteed by a bond. Contrary to what some have stated, these hostel rooms cannot be built in El Cajon or any inland area. Lanefield's innovative program includes conditions requiring the hostel to be built on port tidelands in the city of San Diego's coastal zone, the area shown in yellow on this slide. Lanefield will accomplish this enhanced public access without harm to sensitive biological resources or water quality. After reviewing all the water quality studies, Dr. Jack Gregg of your staff has concluded the project's best management practices will protect the aquatic organisms and bay resources and avoid any impacts to water quality. Water quality is assured in part through conditions requiring submittal of various water quality management, operation, and maintenance plans. In addition, the project is subject to the close regulation and oversight of the regional board and local agencies. The existing site is contaminated from historic uses. If the project is not approved, this existing contamination will remain, along with the potential for it to migrate to the bay. Approval of the project, however, will remove and properly dispose of the known contaminations in the soil and will dispose of it outside of the coastal zone. Dr. Jack Gregg has reviewed the reports and concluded that the appropriate work is being done. Regional board regulators will have oversight of the cleanup and can require additional treatment if deemed necessary to protect the waters of the state. The Commission's executive director will review and approve the plan for long-term operation and maintenance of these best management practices, and any change will require his approval or an amendment to the coastal development permit. Today, all precipitation falling on the site sheet flows untreated to the bay. In its as-designed configuration, however, Lanefield will create a zero runoff site. Lanefield's runoff control system will be designed to capture and treat all dry weather runoff and 100% of storm runoff from the 85th percentile storm event. It will reuse the stormwater on site or, to the extent it cannot be reused, treat and discharge it into the city's MS4 system, according to state, regional board, city of San Diego, and port regulations. Gray water generated by operation of the project will be treated to Title 22 standards and redeployed for sanitary flushing or irrigation as if required. Lanefield raises the bar for sustainable coastal development, substantially reducing its carbon footprint over typical projects. It is the first port project to commit to a minimum 20% reduction over Title 24, and it will reduce water use by at least 50% over a typical hotel, recover waste heat, employ fuel cell generation or photovoltaic array. Lanefield's initiatives are designed to achieve LEED Silver certification, as well as compliance with AB 32's goals. For these and other reasons, the list of project supporters is long, as partially illustrated on this slide, including City of San Diego Mayor Jerry Sanders, whose letter you received earlier today. Your staff has found Lanefield to be consistent with the Port Master Plan and the Coastal Act. It creates more than 2,000 permanent jobs and 500 construction jobs and substantially benefits the project, the San Diego economy. We therefore ask you to permit this development and approve our coastal development permit with staff's recommendations. Thank you.
We've just received a couple more speaker slips. Sue Schaffner, 3 minutes, followed by Chris Duggan.
Good morning. My name is Sue Schaffner. I'm the executive director of Hosteling International in San Diego. And we are really excited to be working with Lanefield as the possible hostel on port tidelands in the city of San Diego. 2009 is a year of celebration for hostels. For the last 100 years, the international hostel movement has gathered people of the world together in an atmosphere of friendship and respect, expanding their worlds through educational travel. Hostels around the globe promote interaction among travelers, provide a sense of place, increase awareness of the natural world, and encourage cross-cultural understanding and international friendship. HI San Diego is proud to operate 2 award-winning hostels in downtown and Point Loma. Last year, our hostels hosted over 18,000 travelers from 57 countries. Through programming, the San Diego Council reaches out to young people, teaching them the values of cross-cultural understanding. Last March, the San Diego Council hosted the first Hosteling International USA Peacebuilding Conference, promoting world peace by creating a network of young adults and empowering them with tools, knowledge, and cultural awareness to become advocates for peace in their community. We've also spent the last few months collaborating with Lanefield on the prospect of a hostel on port tidelands in the city of San Diego. We've had a very positive experience working with Lanefield and fully support this proposal. This hostel would allow us to expand our capacity for overnights and our options for programming. Thank you for consideration of this project. We look forward to one day soon inviting hostelers of all ages from around the world to a hostel at one of the most beautiful locations in California, the city of San Diego Port Tidelands.
Thank you. Chris Duggan, 3 minutes.
Good afternoon. Good morning, actually, Madam Chair, Coastal Commissioners. My name is Chris Duggan. I'm with the San Diego Regional Economic Development Corporation. I'm here on behalf of all of our corporate members, individual members, to offer our full support of the San Diego Lane Field Project. The project is one of the premier development opportunities that will transform the San Diego Bay waterfront and becoming a central gateway to a city that hosts international conferences and international companies. As we have heard before from other supporters, the $4 million project will provide key employment opportunities to San Diego's bayfront, including, as noted before, the 2,000 hotel jobs, the 500 temporary construction jobs, and it's estimated the $5.4 million transit occupancy tax revenue that will be received by the City of San Diego through 2011 and increasing to 7.5 by 2015. The EDC believes the Lane Field meets the growing demand to transform our bayfront, or other known as our front porch, and will provide economic benefits to the San Diego region. The project will also become an environmental steward, as noted before. We heard of LEED Silver certification. Also, we heard treating stormwater on-site and reusing it, and also it will be discharged with lower levels of pollutants. Once again, on behalf of the San Diego EDC and our Board of Directors, we urge the California Coastal Commission to approve the Lane Field Project. Thank you.
All right, thank you. There were some other slips turned in, but I'm advised that those folks aren't here yet. Let me just check. Sharon Cloward, Angelica Villagrana, or Todd Voorhees? All right, we have no speaker slips in opposition, so I'm going to go back to the staff for comment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just briefly, this is a large development, and as submitted, it had a number of public amenities, including the public plaza areas, drawing the public from the street to the terraces, and it's incorporated into the design. The Coastal Act allowed it to make it even better project, we believe, by incorporating the startup shuttle program and requiring the hostel to be built in Port Tidelands in the coastal zone in San Diego. So we are excited about being part of this development as well, and I think the conditions of approval allow for the oversight by the executive director and those particular aspects of the development that are of concern to the Commission, that being the public access program, the multimodal transit program, and the water quality issues. And that'll conclude my comments.
All right, thank you. Several commissioners have signed up to speak, and the first is Commissioner Wan.
I just have a couple of questions. And the first one, I need someone from the port or the developer to answer the question, because you'll probably know the answer better than staff. Is there somebody here who could come up? Yeah, one of you, that'd be fine. The Bayfront Shuttle, how frequently will it be running if you're standing at a spot? Will you have to wait an hour or?
It's got 50, I'm sorry, I'm John Hilmer. I'm the—
Could you give your name for the record, please?
John Hilmer, I'm the Director of Land Use Planning for the Port of San Diego. The summer shuttle system is designed to have 15-minute headways.
50 or 15?
15, 1-5.
That's perfect. Okay, thank you. the other question simply revolves around, and you can stand up here if you want, the change to requiring the hostel to be on Tidelands is a great change, and I support that. I noticed that the language says that the executive director will be consulted in the planning process, and I'm not quite sure what that means, because what I don't want is to have a situation where you guys pick a site, go through a planning process, and then we have a head-on confrontation at the commission. So I'm trying to figure out what his role is if he feels strongly that the site selection, for example, is not appropriate.
Well, actually, we understand that condition to be that the executive director is involved in the site selection process.
Good. Okay. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Hueso?
Thank you. I move that the Commission approve Coastal Development Permit number A-6-PSD-084 pursuant to the staff recommendation, and recommend a yes vote.
Second.
We have a motion by Commissioner Hueso, a second by Vice Chair Burke. Both are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoptions of the findings in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
Yes, absolutely. Thank you. And I just want to, first of all, thank staff for coming up, doing a great job. I understand staff is really overworked on a number of fronts, and this is a very, very important project to San Diego and to me particularly. And I know we had a very spirited debate 2 months ago over whether this project was ready for approval. But I want to just give people an indication in terms of what's possible in 2 months and what our staff has been able to accomplish working with the port and the applicant. Huge improvements in the project, and I'd like to mention a few of them that I'm very proud of. But before I do, I just want to just give kind of a point of reference. I was raised very, very close to this area, and I mentioned that before, and I was raised in an area that didn't have a public park. And the Coastal Commission made it possible that a park be built on the port waterfront in Barrio Logan. We have a park there now thanks to the Coastal Commission and working together with the port. And recently, we were able to make, the port was able to make some upgrades at that park that I personally am very proud of. This came out of this body here, and my kids now can play in this wonderful park where I couldn't play when I was growing up. So that's just a wonderful thing. And I think one thing that really comes out of this project that I'm particularly proud of, that we're going to have the first youth hostel in the city of San Diego and on the San Diego Bayfront on port tidelands ever. And because we were able to really demand a little bit more of this project, because if they're going to pay for that anyway, why don't we put it in the most desirable area? Because I think, you know, the youth, I think the students, I think the young travelers that come to San Diego deserve a quality location for their youth hostel. The Coastal Commission now has discretion over the shuttle and the hostel program, so that's a great place to be with this project. And the soil contamination issue has been 100% resolved, with 0% runoff coming from this property. And the parking comprehensive study now provides new information showing that the parking will actually not affect parking levels in the waterfront, even during construction. So I'm very pleased to support this project, and I want to thank the port and the applicant for their patience during this process and for their number of concessions that they were able to offer the public of San Diego. I think this is a much better project, and I'm very, very proud to support it.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Burke, would you like to speak to your motion?
I think Commissioner Hueso has eloquently described what this project is about.
Very good. Thank you. Commissioner Kruger?
I think Commissioner Hueso basically covered everything very eloquently. I would just add to his comment that he's correct that the port and the applicant and everyone involved in this project should be thanked, because they've really come forward with a project that works, that resolves a lot of issues. And it's a good project, and it'll make a big difference for San Diego, and the coastal resources have been protected. And again, extraordinary effort by the Port of San Diego for their willingness to work with this developer and this developer to get this financing, etc. In these times, it's an extraordinary effort by all parties involved, and the staff. I'd like to thank them again. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Ashajian?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My question was if the shuttle was going to have any cost for passengers, or is it going to be free of charge?
Hi, my name is Jerry Trammer. I'm the project executive for the developer. Our plan is to run the shuttle at a low cost, probably 25 cents per passenger. Mm-hmm. And the reason is because we do have a significant homeless problem in downtown San Diego, and hopefully that will keep the shuttle available for visitors.
And for some reason, if the cost was to go up as maintenance goes up or gas prices go up, since our name is attached to it, then is the finger going to be pointed towards the Coastal Commission raising the price, or that's something you feel responsible
for? I would certainly hope not. The Coastal Development Permit suggests that it will be a low-cost shuttle, and we intend to keep it that way.
Thank you, sir.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Blank?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to start with I am also in favor of this project. I think it's a good one. But honestly, before I vote yes, I just want to clear up some confusion. There was some great letters attached to the staff report from both Adams and Broadwell and Unite Here Local 30 that had some serious objections to the project that seemed to have disappeared. And I just want to make sure that those issues, is there anybody here from Unite Local 30 or the Adams and Broadwell who want to raise those issues again, or have we cleared those up? I guess we have.
No speaker slips here.
Right. Because I thought it was an incredibly detailed set of issues, and I'm just pleased that they could disappear so quickly. My other question is for staff. Is there a park across that main highway?
Is there a park across?
Is there a park right on the port on the water side across the main that main road? Is that a public park?
Well, immediately across Harbor Drive is the cruise ship terminal pier and the Navy pier and the Broadway pier that are the Broadway pier being accessible somewhat as a park, but not specifically a park. And then the planned development across Broadway to the south would include a park at the corner of Broadway and Harbor Drive.
I was just curious why we weren't asking for interconnection across the highway to any of those amenities, if they are amenities.
Interconnections in terms of?
Well, public access back and forth. That is, this is a, you know, fairly self-contained building. And normally we ask for example, I was thinking about the Monterey project where we ask for a public walkway and other things. I just wanted to know your thinking. I'm not suggesting any changes. I just want to understand your thinking about why this didn't require any of those connections or interconnections to other public access.
Our thinking would be that on the site there's certainly public connectivity between all of the amenities that are provided that would be open and available to the public, and then off the site it's Harbor Drive and the Port Tidelands, which is readily accessible to the public now. Just
if you have a car, right? You have
on foot, sidewalks.
How do you cross Harbor Drive there?
You have to cross at a crosswalk, but it is just a street.
Okay.
And there will be an expansion of the promenade along the Embarcadero as part of the North Embarcadero Visionary Plan.
Right, on the other side of the highway.
Right.
Right. And so, therefore, that's my point. We're not asking for any interconnection to the Embarcadero as part of this project. And we did so consciously. I just want to make sure that that's something we're okay with.
Yes, we did so consciously that
okay.
We don't feel
thank
any
you.
Additional connection.
As I said, I'm in support of the project. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to understand the decisions we made. Thank you.
Well, Madam Chair, I just wanted to tell my friend, Commissioner Blank, that the reason everything was settled, I told him that they'd settle it, they wouldn't have to listen to a whole bunch of questions from Commissioner Blank.
Okay.
I didn't get the memo. Thank you, Commissioner.
Commissioner Clark.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I join my colleague and the maker of the motion, Commissioner Waso, in strong support for this project. As other colleagues have indicated, he was very elegant in summarizing this. As a local elected official, I think this is historic, quite frankly, in terms of the youth hostel, because often what we find at the local level is when we approve projects along our coastlines, we, in terms of the opportunity for affordable overnight lodging, it doesn't become material. And here, there is a pathway ahead to make that happen. So I compliment all the parties on that, and I strongly support this.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Juan?
Yes, just very quickly. I think it's, I agree with what Commissioner Hueso and my fellow commissioners have said. The project is very much improved as a result of having found substantial issue and the progress that has been made in the last few months. I'd like to thank all parties, but I would especially like to point out and say thanks to our staff. We all know how understaffed we are and how overworked they are, and I have to say that they have done a remarkable job in making certain that this is going to give us and deal with the issues of concern, certainly to me, the public access and the water quality aspects of it. And so I would like to express my thanks to them.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Schellenberger?
I also support this project. And I just want to specifically focus on the shuttle and to urge staff as we in the future, when we have projects before us which are in dense areas, urban areas, we often, from my point of view, focus way too much on adequate parking and where people should store their cars as opposed to getting them out of their cars and into mass transit. I think this has been a very good example of how that can be done. I thank staff for their hard work and in a very short period of time, and just hope going forward that staff continues to look toward finding solutions for moving people around dense areas other than merely finding places to park their cars. Thank you.
All right, then that's the end of commission comments. We have a motion and a second to approve this matter. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote? Seeing none, the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development and adopts the findings set forth in the staff report with regard to the policies of the certified port master plan. Congratulations. It's a great project. Thank you.
Thank you. As chairman of the port, I assure you we will continue to work forward with your staff to make this work for what everybody has looked forward to and asked for. Thank you for your time.
It's very exciting. Thank you. I think I've had a request for a five-minute bio break, so we're going to, I guess, just 5 minutes, though, because we want to finish up this morning if we can.
Thank you, Madam Chair. The next item is item 13C, 60896, the UCSD and Sanford Consortium. And Lorinda Owens of our San Diego staff will present this item.
Okay. Can we please put the first PowerPoint slide up?
Just give them to me now, because he left.
Okay. This is that 12C.
Okay.
That trailed. I guess okay. He wants to speak on it. Were we done with speakers at that point, or have we got to that point? I can't remember.
We didn't even open the hearing.
Oh, okay.
So I think, yeah, we're good.
And then here's a couple more for 13C. Okay.
Good morning, commissioners. Please refer to the addendum changes, which also include additional color exhibits. The proposed project is a stem cell research building at the northwest corner of North Torrey Pines Road and Torrey Pines Scenic Drive in La Jolla. The main issues raised by the project relate to the construction of the building, including the removal of a grove of eucalyptus trees and their potential adverse effect on, one, the community character of an existing popular visitor destination point, the historic Torrey Pines Glider Port, that is used for recreation, two, the ability for fixed-wing gliders to continue to use the site, and three, public views toward the ocean. Staff is recommending approval of the project with several special conditions. The glider port is listed on the National Register of Historic Places under Criterion A, Event, as a property associated with events that have made a significant contribution to aviation history between 1928 to 1942, and also on the California Register of Historic Resources. The glider port is divided into two portions, that part owned by UCSD and that part owned by the City of San Diego. One of the key concerns raised is that the proposed project will penetrate the airspace of the fixed-wing gliders, which use the portion of the glider port owned by UCSD. Several other type of glider uses occur on the city-owned portion of the glider port and will not be affected by the proposed development. Permission to use the subject site for fixed-wing gliders is subject to an irrevocable license between UC and the Aviation Club and certification of the license by Caltrans. Specifically, the State Historic Preservation Office has stated that the project will significantly impact historical resources, namely the location, setting, design, and feeling of the historical site as a result of the removal of the eucalyptus trees and the intrusion of the new building into the natural setting of the site. Presently, fixed-wing gliders approach the landing strip going east, and then they make a series of right-hand turns, landing in a westerly direction. Although the approach surface includes the area where the eucalyptus trees are located, gliders typically turn right before the trees because they impede the approach surface. The applicant extensively explored other alternatives in the area, looking at other sites, including relocating the existing building in a different location on the site. But ultimately, they decided that this was the best location for the site, for the building, because it was located next to the Salk Institute south of the site, as well as the Torrey Pine Center north of the site, and other researchers on the rest of the UCSD campus itself. To address the potential impacts to the use of the glider port for the fixed-wing gliders, the applicant has suggested a realignment of the runway location to accommodate the structure in a way that will remove its impediments to the approach and transitional surfaces at the runway. By rotating the alignment by 14 degrees, the runway's imaginary surfaces would nearly avoid the proposed project and existing and planned UCSD structures. This alternative configuration does not involve any physical alterations to the runway or glider port, but it does include a change to the traffic pattern using a left-hand turn as shown in Exhibit Number 8C in the addendum. In addition, Caltrans has also concluded that with this slight change to the runway alignment and use of a different approach from the south, that fixed-wing gliders will still be able to use the site after the project is constructed. In summary, although the project will result in a direct impact on the ability for fixed-wing gliders to continue to use the glider port, the proposed alternative runway alignment will allow for their continued operation of the facility. In addition, all existing and proposed intrusions into the imaginary surface of the glider port runway will be completely removed. Although historical resources are important, under the Coastal Act, they can only be afforded protection if through their loss they diminish or destroy the community character of a special or unique community. In this case, a strong argument cannot be made that through the loss of the eucalyptus trees or construction of the research building, that the unique characteristics of this visitor destination point will be permanently changed such that fixed-wing gliders cannot operate there. After the structure is built, there will still be large open areas on the rest of the site. A special condition, as included in the addendum, requires that future development on the site be reviewed by the Commission as an amendment to this permit to assure future structures on the site would not eliminate the use of the site by fixed-wing gliders. Furthermore, the proposed project will not result in any adverse impacts on public views. Special condition number 2 requires a 20-foot wide view corridor along the southern frontage of the site to open up views toward the ocean that may be visible on clear days. Therefore, the subject project is found consistent with sections 30253 and 30251 of the Coastal Act, and staff recommends that the Commission approve the project as condition. Thank you.
And I would like to just add, there's a letter from UCSD that has raised some concerns about the language and the findings that indicate future review would assure that the impacts to fixed-wing gliders would be eliminated. We can modify that language in the findings, and I believe we've come up with language that is acceptable to both the applicant and staff that will allow for future review by the Commission of any development on the southern portion of the lot, and the impacts to fixed-wing gliders as well as views would be determined at that time. And so if I could read into the record for the suggested modifications number 1 and 5 that are in the addendum, strike the language that is suggested in the addendum and replace it with the following. A special condition requires that future development on the site be reviewed as an amendment to this permit to ensure adequate consideration of potential impacts on fixed wing gliders to use the site for recreational purposes and provide for commission determination of consistency with all applicable Coastal Act policies. And the very same language would be added then in suggested modification number 5. And so with that change, that concludes staff's comments.
All right, thank you. And we'll look to the commissioners to see if there are any ex parte communications regarding item 13C. Commissioner Kruer?
Yes, my ex parte is on file for the December 24th I met in San Diego.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Clark?
Okay. Thank you, Madam Chair. This Tuesday, the 6th of January, I had a brief conversation with Susan McCabe approximately at 11:45 regarding this project. She reviewed the benefits of the new research facility and its relationship to surrounding facilities, indicated the applicant's agreement with the recommendation for approval, but addressed concerns regarding the condition prohibiting future development on the parking lot site and landscaping condition intended to create a new view corridor, indicated that the applicant and their representatives were continuing to work with staff to address the concerns over the future development and its impacts, potential alleged impacts on the Torrey Pines glider port. Thank you.
All right, thank you. And my ex partes are on file. Commissioner Riley?
Thank you, Madam Chair. My ex parte is on file.
Commissioner Weisel?
My staff member, Alonzo Gonzalez, spoke with Susan McCabe on Monday, January 5th, who mentioned to him that staff proposed a condition limiting the future uses of the parking lot that would have been detrimental to the ability of the applicant to construct the building. And the applicant also worked with the Torrey Pines glider port to realign the runway and to allow the glider port to continue operations. Also, during the break, I had a very, very brief conversation with Richard Ledford that mentioned to me that generally all the issues that were worked out with staff and that he would speak to any other items related to this project during the hearing.
All right. Thank you. Commissioner Lucchesi, Lynn. Commissioner Shajian.
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January 5th, I did receive a phone call from Ms. McCabe, and the discussion was the same as described by Commissioner Clark.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Blank?
On January 5th, about 4:45, I spoke to Susan McCabe in regard to this item. Summary was she believed there was no opposition and all the conditions were worked out, and that's it.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Potter?
I had a conversation with Susan McCabe on Tuesday, identical to the one just described by Commissioner Blank.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. On January the 5th, I had a telephone conversation with Susan McCabe, focused on the projects and its benefits and its relationship specifically to the glider port. I'm very interested in making sure that that glider port continues to function after this building is built and that the civilization doesn't encroach on this historic use. And thank you, Madam Chair.
All right, thank you. We have several speakers on this item, so we'll invite up the applicant, the applicant's representatives, to address the commission first. And I don't know if you have an organized presentation. Maybe you could let me know how much time you'd like.
10 minutes, please.
All right, we'll give you 10 minutes and let you introduce who the speakers are, including yourself.
Thank you very much. Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Louis Kaufman. I'm with the Sanford Consortium for Regenerative Medicine. And also speaking with me will be Dr. Larry Goldstein, who's a professor of at the University of California at San Diego and is the scientific director of the consortium. My first slide. My first slide, this has been an extraordinary project in all respects, but one in particular has been the extraordinary pace of progress we've made in terms of from when we started to working our way through this discretionary approval. The purpose of this slide is to pay tribute to the contribution that Coastal Commission staff made to that. We submitted our application in November. We had the staff report in December, and here we are at a hearing in January. The urgency of this project is made all the more pressing by requirements of the California Institute for Regenerative Medicine, who's made a $43 million grant to the consortium to build this facility, and they require it that it be completed by December of 2010. So we thank the staff for their extraordinary efforts on our behalf. With that, just to give you some background of the consortium, I'd like to turn it over to Dr. Goldstein.
Thank you. Thank you for your time, Madam Chair. Thank you for your time, commissioners and staff. This is really a remarkable project, and what I want to do
is... give your name for the record, please?
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm Dr. Lawrence Goldstein. I'm a professor of cellular and molecular medicine at the University of California, San Diego. I'm an investigator with the Howard Hughes Medical Institute, director of the UC San Diego Stem Cell Program, and chair of the Scientific Program Committee for the Sanford Consortium for Regenerative Medicine. What I really want to describe to you is why this is a unique project and why this is of such benefit both to California and to the community of San Diego. As background, I want to just tell you a little bit about my odyssey around this country as a scientist. I have a bachelor's degree from UC San Diego. I grew up in Southern California. I've worked at the University of Washington, the University of Colorado, MIT, and Harvard. I was on the faculty at Harvard University, where I was the Loeb Chair of Natural Sciences and then a tenured professor. And I came back to San Diego because of the unique scientific community here. I've reviewed many scientific organizations around the world, reviewed many programs, and I can tell you that what we are trying to build here in San Diego is truly unique. It is, to my knowledge, the world's only institution that brings together four completely disparate world-class institutions in an interdisciplinary, interinstitutional project to use stem cells to fight the terrible diseases that afflict all of us, our family members, and those dear to us. What makes this project so unique is this interdisciplinary and interinstitutional character, and this is what makes the site of this program so important, because it is walking distance from all of the major institutions on the Mesa. It is designed to bring scientists together, and for those of you who wonder why some of the medical problems that are so important to us are not yet solved, let me just state for the record that these problems are very difficult. The problems in human biology and medicine are overwhelming in their complexity at times, and they really do require teams of scientists and clinicians working together to bring us closer to the day when we can say we have dealt with and eliminated the scourge of Alzheimer's disease and Parkinson's disease and cancer. That day is not yet here, but it is our hope that this project will not only help us do that and benefit the people in our community and the state, but ultimately, as you know from the history of the La Jolla area, the scientific institutions there have spawned many companies that employ many San Diegans in good, high-paying jobs, and we anticipate that the Sanford Consortium will follow in that mold. So thank you for your time and attention. I think I'll turn it back to Mr. Kaufman.
All right, thank you.
Now, some particulars on the project itself. The location, as has been pointed out, is on the UCSD campus. It's at the corner, the intersection of North Torrey Pines and Torrey Pines Scenic Road. It's on a site that is designated in the 2004 long-range development plan developed by the university for academic use. As Larry's pointed out, it's proximal to all of the member institutions, which makes this site integral to the success of the consortium. Access to the site is conveyed to the consortium via a 52-year ground lease at nominal rent. This, I believe, demonstrates extraordinary vision on behalf of the chancellor to make this site available, to make this project work. And then with respect to the surrounding land use that goes directly to the heart of the community character, arguably throughout the world, Torrey Pines Mesa is known for the academic and research as an extraordinary academic and research community to which the Sanford Consortium will contribute significantly. The building itself, the site, is 7.5 acres, or roughly 323,000 square feet. The building footprint is roughly an acre, and then parking and landscape each comprise about 3 acres themselves. There'll be 418 parking spaces on the site, which in fact is an extraordinary advantage, a real plus of this, because one of the what the Mesa lacks is parking, especially when there's a facility that's meant to engender people to get together to collaborate. So this will be a true hub on the Mesa that will extend out to the rest of the organizations on the Mesa. The building is about 135,000 square feet. It's an extremely efficient building. We originally planned it to be 60% efficient net to gross. Now we're at 76%, basically taking advantage of exterior circulation that need not be conditioned space. It's sustainable. It's LEED Gold. Using as the staff report pointed out, the water condition is better as a result of the project itself. The site is an extraordinary containment area and catchment area for a large area, and all the water will be treated before disposed into the canyons. As I said before, we hope to start in February, and we need end in December of 2010. The building itself has been is mindful of the Mesa and certainly of the iconic architecture of the Salk Institute nearby. So contextually, it fits wonderfully well into the site. Its design has been reviewed and approved by a lot of architects. The UCSD Campus Community Planning Committee has looked at it, the Design Review Board, and their recommendation was made to the Regents, and the Regents then in turn approved it as well. Mm-hmm. What you're looking at there is a view from the Salk Institute looking northeast. And as has been discussed, the impact on the environment and coastal resources, this site has been reviewed at least in 2 long-range development plans, all certified by the Regents, one with regard to the long-range development plan in 2004, and one project-specific here. As was lifted from the staff report on page 27, that the staff agrees that this complies in all respects with the Coastal Act, and indeed the EIR was certified by the Regents in November. The benefits to the coastal resources, stormwater discharges, are less in the developed condition than were there. Where right now there is a large grove of eucalyptus trees, they will be removed and will create, in effect, view corridors to the ocean. As I said, it's LEED Gold, it's environmentally sustainable, and it will not impact recreation, which is substantial in the area, as was pointed out in the staff report. Recreation comprises view, beach access, hang gliding, paragliding, remote control operations, and fixed wing gliding. And we've taken great pains to ensure that no impact on any of the previous three, and taken great pains to ensure that there's no impact on fixed wing gliding either. And as you can see here, the impact on the coastal resources just pictorially represented all that I just mentioned. Our site is to the extreme east portion of the site. The fixed wing glider site is the runway area that's shown there, adjacent to the golf course. Remote control, the view, and the hang gliding all take place, and the cliffs, roughly 2,000 feet to the west of our project site, and none of which will be impacted at all. So we believe that the project represents a true win-win. One, the environment and coastal resources will benefit from this, and we believe that, as Dr. Goldstein pointed out, the problems that are in science confronts are extraordinary, and they require that people collaborate. And we believe that in order for people to collaborate, what's required first is the opportunity. And the opportunity is served best by proximity. So we believe bringing the scientists together in one facility is vitally important to realizing the goal of multidisciplinary collaborative medicine. The project has engendered extraordinary support. You'll hear from a number of disease advocates from the Parkinson's community, from the diabetes community, but in addition, from the political community, we're proud to include a letter from the governor, from State Senators Kehoe and Ducheney, Assemblyman Fletcher, our Mayor Sanders. We have resolutions from the City of San Diego as well as the County of San Diego. We have letters from the agency, the BTH, as well as resources, all in support of the project as well. And so with that, I will end, and happy to take whatever questions you have as
All right, thank you. And you have an opportunity for rebuttal, and we'll reserve 5 minutes for that in case you need it. All right, thank you. See, Milton Fagley is here for questions only. And then Angelica Villagrana, she has no need to speak. Chris Duggan supports the project, no need to speak. Camarine Rodriguez? Oh, Catherine? All right. Excuse me, Catherine. Would you like to address the commission? All right, great. Good morning.
Good morning. My name is Dr. Catherine Rodriguez. I'm a retired school principal and an advocate for Parkinson's disease and a patient with Parkinson's.
Would 3 minutes be all right?
Sure.
All right, thank you.
I'm here to advocate the building of this stem cell research lab in La Jolla at the current Torrey Pines site. It is strategically located there so that scientists from UCSD, Salk, Burnham, and Scripps can work together. The possibilities are endless for the research that they could accomplish. Stem cell research offers a hope for patients and their families with a variety of diseases, including Parkinson's, Alzheimer's, juvenile diabetes, and people with spinal cords and other injuries. I am currently president of the board of directors of the Parkinson's Disease Association of San Diego. We would like to formally present our support for this also. I'm also a grandmother with 5 children, and I would like to see my 5 grandchildren grow and go to college and do all of those wonderful things that families do together. But my hopes are with a cure for Parkinson's. This facility has been thoroughly studied for significant environmental impacts, and none were found. The site site is currently used by fixed-wing glider pilots. That use will continue after the building is there. The building is of historic, or the area is of historical significance. I feel that building the building there will add to the history of the building or of the area. Think how exciting it would be to find a cure for Parkinson's or Alzheimer's in this area. I think people like Charles Lindbergh would be very proud to have the historical significance of this area greatened by this addition of scientific research there. When a person that has a non-curable disease such as Parkinson's, the hope for the future is what gets that person out of bed each and every morning. This research provides that hope for many thousands of people and their families here in San Diego, the United States, and around the world. So I ask you to vote for and build this building so that the research can be accomplished. Thank you.
Thank you. Next speaker is Timothy Martin.
Good morning, and thanks for the opportunity to address the commission. My name is Tim Martin. I serve on the board of directors of the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, on the board of directors of the Combined Health Agencies of San Diego, and probably more important for my comments today, I'm the uncle of a 12-year-old nephew, Parker, who was diagnosed with type 1 or juvenile diabetes 5 or 6 years ago. In my relationship with Parker, I've come to understand or believe 3 things that I think are important for the discussion. The first is a lot about diabetes. I won't bore you with it, but essentially it's the pancreas' reduced ability to produce insulin. Insulin's important for regulating your blood sugar. If your blood sugar levels get either high or low, it puts undue stress on your organs, and you die prematurely. This is a fact that Parker's understood since he was 7, and as such, he has had to be very disciplined about what and when he eats. He's had to prick his finger 6 to 8 times a day to take his blood sugar levels, and he's had to inject himself with insulin a few times a day to try to regulate that, all in an effort to put less stress on his organs and die less prematurely. The second thing I've come to understand or believe through my own investigation or my own research is that of all the research that's going on out there to help diabetes, the one that seems to offer the most promise is stem cell research. Its inherent ability to adapt itself to other cells around it will help not only diabetes, but other degenerative diseases, organ transplants, and a lot of, and would help millions of people around the world. And the third and final thing I've come to understand is a lot of the good research and expertise and experts are right here in our local community. This allows an opportunity for increased investment in something that we're already one of a group of leaders in. It could strengthen our position as a center of excellence in this type of research, and it could actually make our local community be an area that really helps bring the next wave of medical technology and cures to millions of people around the world. With all that said, I'm asking that you please approve this application.
Thank you. All right. Thank you, Mr. Martin. Gary Fogel.
Honorable Commissioners, my name is Dr. Gary Fogel, representing the Torrey Pines Soaring Council here today. I appreciate the time. 3 minutes, thanks. Throughout the EIR process, I just wanted to make mention that no glider pilot ever spoke out against stem cell research or the nature of this facility. We all understand the importance of stem cell research and value that research to the community in San Diego and the mission of the Sanford Consortium. Pilots and historians only voiced their concern about the location of the facility, placement within a nationally recognized aviation landmark. Throughout the EIR process, the glider clubs worked with UCSD and the Sanford Consortium to determine any compromises that could allow both soaring and the science to continue. And I have to commend UCSD and the consortium for their incredible diligence on developing a solution that works and their work with both preservation activists for both soaring and history. The compromise that's before you is to allow the runway to be reconfigured to allow the soaring to continue as well as the placement of the stem cell facility within the boundaries of the glider port. That reconfiguration is in light of that placement of that building as well as a 14-story tower that's across the street that impacts on the approach surface that was commonly used in gliding for the historical purpose of the glider port. I just wanted to mention curiously that though that 14-story tower was objected to by the glider pilots when it was first brought before the commission in 2007, and yet a mitigated negative declaration was used to put up that building because it then was viewed as not affecting the glider port. And current staff, with regards to this issue, it's recognized that that 14-story tower does affect the approach surface. But the runway reconfiguration would allow the gliding to continue despite both the stem cell facility and that 14-story tower. So I'd like to say that while it's remaining unclear exactly how the runway configuration gets done, I think that that's the right solution. I'd like to voice our approval for the project as recommended by staff in its original recommendation to you, which will also help make sure that there's no future construction that will affect gliding at this site. And I'd like to also say that all users of the glider port hope that any future development in this region will not preclude continued use for gliding at both the city and state portions of this parcel. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. That's the end of our speakers, so I invite the applicant to do the rebuttal if you want to do use your rebuttal time.
No, thank you.
You don't, no need for that? All right, thank you, sir. Then let's bring it back to the staff for comments.
My comment is brief. I just wanted to let the commission know and the public that when this matter came in and the applicants brought it forward to us, our first reaction was, why did you wait so long? Because of the backlog of projects that we have and the staffing crisis that we have. Having said that, though, we made the decision internally, given the importance of this facility, that we were going to put on hold a number of other projects that came in the door considerably earlier than this one in order to process this in the shortest amount of time possible. And that's how it came to you today, and I'm very pleased that we were able to work out the last remaining issues as late as this morning. So with that, Madam Chair, we recommend this for your approval with the modified staff conditions.
All right, thank you. Commissioner Kroer?
Yes. Thank you, Madam Chair. I move that the Commission approve Coastal Development Permit number 608-96 pursuant to the staff recommendation with the changes and agreements that Director Douglas talked about.
All right. There's a motion by Commissioner Kroer, seconded by Commissioner Weso. The mover and the seconder are recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the resolutions and findings in the staff report. You'd like to speak to your motion?
Yes, I would. I would like to, on behalf of myself and the whole, you know, and I know the other commissioners feel that way, this is probably the most important project I've seen come through to San Diego and maybe California, the country. That I've been very involved in knowing what's going on up there on the Torrey Pines Mesa, and I will tell you, the greatest secret of San Diego and the greatest future for all of us is what's happening with the scientists and the world-class people that they have brought in to groups like the Salk Institute of Biological Studies, the Scripps Research Institute, the Burnham Institute of Medical Research, and, of course, the University of California, San Diego. And they have worked together with Mr. Sanford from South Dakota, who made a very generous gift and got this grant from the state of California. And there are just so many things that are going on up there that people someday will live to be, not myself, but younger people, maybe 100 or 120 years old. And it'll be because of the efforts and research that these people are achieving. And I ask you all to support it. It's a great project. And thank the glider people for working things out with them. And it's a beautiful building they're planning to do and go forward. And this is really a historic thing for all of us, this particular project and all the projects that they're doing right now. There's just so many extraordinary people from around the world. Dr. Topol, Eric Topol, one, somebody I know up there at Scripps they brought in. He's in DNA and all the things they're doing. All these scientists and doctors, and Dr. Goldstein, Dr. Kaufman, we are very gifted to have them in California.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Wiesel?
Thank you. In addition to what Commissioner Kruer said, I just wanted to add that UCSD, working in combination with Salk Institute, we saw a project come before Salk, and they've been wonderful stewards of the coastline. And this project, comes close to home for me personally because my father did die of complications that arose out of diabetes, and diabetes is a scourge in the Hispanic community as a whole. And you can't visit the coastline or even fly a glider if you're not here with us. And I think I just want to thank everybody for all their wonderful work in San Diego. And congratulate them on this wonderful project.
All right. Any other speakers? Commissioner Secord?
Thank you, Madam Chair. I support this project as well. I think the stem cell research is a subject that is very important to the state of California. I think San Diego has done a nice job here. I'm pleased that they were able to work with the glider folk to limit the disturbance of that use. And I want to thank staff for expediting the project.
All right. Any other commissioner comments? Commissioner Clark?
Yeah, I would just like to, echo Commissioner Kruer's comment that this is really, as I see it, as important a project as we've seen before the Commission in a long, long time. The implications that have been discussed are dramatic in terms of what can happen as a consequence, so I strongly support it.
All right, thank you. We have a motion and a second to approve the project. Is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion passes unanimously, and the commission hereby approves the coastal development permit for the proposed development. Excellent project. Thank you. Congratulations. So staff,
Chair,
we need to go to 12C again?
Yes, if we could go back to that item. We have worked it out with the...
Madam Chair, before staff reports, I need to report a brief ex parte that I had during break with Susan McCabe.
On 12C?
On 12C, where she indicated that the applicant and staff had reached an agreement on the parking issue.
All right, thank you.
And Madam Chair, I also had an ex parte with Susan McCabe simply describing that they were in discussion with staff.
All right.
And I had a discussion with Susan McCabe identical to that described by Commissioner Riley.
Do you imagine what could happen in 10 minutes?
Susan McCabe ignored me completely.
Okay, thank you. Let's go back to staff.
Okay, Madam Chair, if I could ask the commissioners to take out the handout that you got. I believe you got this from the representative for the Marina Towers. Has a yellow cover sheet on it. Forget about the yellow cover sheet. It's just an identifier. But if you go to the first page, I'm going to read these changes into the record. Special condition number 1C would be eliminated. Special condition 2 would be eliminated.
Two,
right. And then on special condition 4A, on the fourth line, which reads garage, one space per unit, and a maximum of 25 spaces. So that's changed from 15 to 25. And then on the last sentence there at the bottom, that stays in, but we delete the word overnight so that it would read, the adjacent public parking lot is not available for parking for Marina Towers residents or its guests. Then after that sentence, you add the following sentences. Marina Towers residents shall permanently affix to their vehicles a Marina Towers resident identification sticker. Period. Then the next sentence would be, the city shall provide a minimum of 40 spaces in the public parking lot. Those are public spaces. And then another sentence that says, the city shall monitor the program, the parking program, and report to the executive director after 2 years. And I didn't discuss this part with them, but I hope it's okay with the city. At that point, I think the executive director ought to have the ability to suggest another monitoring period for an additional 2 years, if that's appropriate. Is that okay with the...
Yes.
Okay. All right. Then, on special condition 6, that would be deleted. Those would be the changes, and what this basically would do is just add an additional 10 parking places for use by the Marina Tower residents. That would guarantee 40 spaces for the public.
He wants to add residents and guests for the 25 spaces, so that it's, right now it's written as only as guest spaces.
Yeah, okay.
Okay,
as we do this in process, there's one more change I want to read in, going back to special condition number 4, looking at the fifth line, where it says, for its guests, insert for its residents, and... Okay. So that would be, those would be the changes, and basically it means that the residents would not be able to park on the 40 public parking spaces during the day. It's up to the city and the Marina Towers folks to monitor and enforce this. It's a compromise that I think ensures the long-term public use of the parking lot. The process would be that you find substantial issue, they don't object to that now, and then we recommend approval with the conditions as changed, as I just read them into the record. So that's where we are, and we're all in agreement on that.
All right. Thank you, staff. So now I'll ask the question once again about, should we ask the applicants to put this on the record?
Yeah, from them so that we get it on the record.
All right. Why don't we do that first?
Good morning, Madam Chair and Commissioner. Stephen Coffin for the Oceanside Marina Towers Homeowners Association. We concur in those changes to the special conditions and appreciate staff and Peter's working this out with us. Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, Commissioners, City of Peter Weiss, City of Oceanside, we concur as well.
All right. Thank you. So then I'm going to ask the question again. Do three or more commissioners find substantial issue or wish to have a hearing on substantial issue? And I'm seeing none at this time, so substantial issue is found. And then we'll move to the de novo hearing. And we have several speakers, and the applicants, I think, are waiving their presentation, having concurred with the staff recommendation at this time. So that takes care of Peter Weiss. Let's see, and Steve Kaufman. And I'm not sure about Jane Allison Austin, who is speaking for Councilwoman Esther Sanchez. Is she still, okay? Are you concurring with
Madam Chair, yes, we concur. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you very much. And then the next speaker would be Mark Massara. Is Mark here? All right, let me go to the next speaker, which is Carolyn Kramer. Is Carolyn Kramer here? Okay, thank you. Carolyn, 3 minutes.
Good morning, Commissioners. Carolyn Kramer, representing the Citizens for the Preservation of Parks and Beaches, and we initially filed the appeal. Of course, we didn't approve the sale, but we got past that, and our most important issue is the protection of public parking. And for years, this parking lot has never been known to the public that it is public parking. It has basically been a private lot for the Marina Towers. So we really do not concur in losing another 10 spaces to the Marina Towers for private use. Those should be public parking spaces, and that's the way we feel, that we should not be giving up 10 additional parking spaces. Thank you.
All right, thank you. Last call for Mark Massara. Okay, don't see him here. Let's bring it back to staff for comment.
Yes, I just wanted to comment relative to the last comment you heard. We think that now the way that this is structured, the city has the responsibility to make sure they put in the signage and make clear that this is a public parking lot, and those 40 spaces are available to the public. And that we think is an improvement, because it's never really been identified as a public parking area. And then they'll be responsible for monitoring it, making sure that the sticker program and the prohibitions work.
All right, thank you. I'll bring it back to the commission. We have a motion on page 9. Commissioner Wesel.
Thank you. I move that the commission approve application number A-6-NOC-08-075 pursuant to the staff recommendation. Recommend a yes vote.
Second.
And the seconder was Commissioner Shajian? Commissioner Potter? Oh, Commissioner Secord. Oh, sorry. Okay, we have a motion by Commissioner Weso, a second by Commissioner Secord. They're both recommending a yes vote. Passage of the motion will result in approval of the permit as condition and adoption of the findings and resolutions in the staff report. Would you like to speak to your motion?
I just want to thank staff and the applicant for coming to a speedy resolution to this that meets the needs of the public and the Oceanside community.
Thank you. Commissioner Secord? All right, thank you. Commissioner Kruer?
Just for the record, that motion is with the new staff recommendation and changes, not with the staff recommendation, the changes that they've all
it incorporates
agreed
to. The new staff recommendation, yes.
Clarification.
Thank you for clarifying that. That's excellent. Okay, and Commissioner Wan?
I realize that we've come to an agreed-upon compromise here, but we have compromised on public use of a public parking lot in the marina, in the harbor. And this is the harbor, and under the harbor plan, this is supposed to be a public parking lot. The harbor, uses of a harbor, uses of public tide lands are very important, and public access is number one. And so, I'm sorry, I can't support this.
All right. Commissioner Schellenberger?
Along those same lines, I think it's a compromise, but it's a compromise that is not based in, substantiated by the Coastal Act. the fact that it was public parking, the fact it wasn't signed and people didn't know about it, doesn't mean it wasn't available. It was public parking. So I think to give private parking rights on a public parking lot is it's a compromise, but it's not defensible in the Coastal Act, so I will vote no. All right. I ask the clerk to please call the roll.
Commissioner Shajian?
Aye.
Shajian, yes. Commissioner Blank?
Aye.
Blank, yes. Commissioner Clark?
Yes.
Clark, yes. Commissioner Wessel?
Yes.
Wessel, yes. Commissioner Secord?
Yes.
Secord, yes. Commissioner Crewer?
Yes.
Crewer, yes. Commissioner Potter?
Aye.
Potter, yes. Commissioner Riley?
Yes.
Riley, yes. Commissioner Schellenberger?
No.
Schellenberger, no. Commissioner Wan?
No.
Wan, no. Chair Neely?
Yes.
Chair Neely, yes. The vote is 9-2.
9-2 is the vote. The commission hereby approves a coastal development permit for the proposed development. All right. Thank you, staff. I think we've got a couple of items that were moved to consent. Did we address those already? I think we did. 13D.
We've taken care of those. We did trail the statewide, and I'd like to take that up, and then we need a closed session.
Okay, and we also have about a half a dozen public comment speaker slips. Okay. So we'll finish those before we do the closed session, if that's all right.
We don't have any minutes for approval at this meeting, Madam Chair. Are there any commissioners' reports?
Any commissioner reports?
Okay, conservancy report. I think there was something in the...
Which conservancy?
The Coastal Conservancy. That was... I think there was something in the packet. Santa Monica Mountains Conservancy. No report there. Deputy Attorney General.
Yes, I have two items to report. The first is in Alberstone versus Coastal Commission. The Court of Appeal affirmed the trial court decision upholding the commission's findings that an appeal from the City of Malibu, approval of a coastal development permit for a lot merger and construction of a single-family home did not raise a substantial issue. The decision contains really good language regarding deference to the Commission's interpretation of various LCP policies and the standard for finding that an appeal does not raise a substantial issue. I also would like to report on the Secretary of Commerce's decision in the Foothill South Transportation Corridor Agencies versus Coastal Commission appeal of the commission's objection to the toll roads to the toll road in northern San Diego County. I'm sure most of you heard the secretary did reject the appeal and upheld the commission's objection, and I'd be pleased to talk more about it if you so desire when we have our closed session.
All right.
Well, I think in terms of the Secretary of Commerce's decision, those of you who've read it, I think, agree with me that it's a very strong opinion, and I think that it not only benefits California in terms of sustaining your decision here, but I think it really helps all coastal states because of the conclusions it reaches relative to some of these determinations on which the decision was based. So it has much broader implications than just California. And I appreciate the great work Jamie has done on this. She's been terrific.
Congratulations. Thank you, Jamie.
Yes.
Commissioner Wan had a comment.
Yes, I'm going to agree with Mr. Douglas. After reading it, it was very, very clear, very straightforward, reiterated the CZMA, and basically spelled it out the way we have actually always interpreted it, in very clear language and language that is not equivocal. And I think that that's what's going to stand us in good stead in the future.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, well, we have one last item. I don't have anything new to report on the budget. We're waiting for the governor's budget to come forward. As we all know, it clearly looks like it's going to be a very, very difficult year relative to the budget. We still don't have a state budget, as you know, too. Don't get me started on that because I will get intemperate. In any event, we do have one item to present to you relative to the gift prohibition, and I'd ask Hope to present that to you for your approval.
Thank you. I believe the memo with the attached motion was handed out yesterday, and I'm not sure that we have additional copies.
No, that's okay.
To hand out.
Just explain it.
Yes. This is item 28B. Under Coastal Act Section 30327.5, staff must come to the commission to ask for approval to participate in training or educational activities for free or at a reduced expense that are provided by interested persons. By this action, we are asking the commission to delegate that authority to the executive director to approve staff's participation in educational activities at a free or reduced cost on a case-by-case basis, rather than having to come back to the commission every time one of these potential opportunities arises. It's both burdensome on the commission as well as impractical from a time perspective to be able to do so. So we are asking for the commission's approval for that.
So we would need an action of the commission then with regard to this?
Yes. The motion would be a motion to state that the commission authorized staff to participate in free or reduced cost educational and training activities subject to the approval of the executive director or the chief deputy director. And staff is recommending a yes vote.
All right. We have a motion by Commissioner Schallenberger.
Second.
Is there a second?
Second.
Second by Commissioner Secord. Any comments from commissioners or questions?
Just a question, Madam Chair.
Yes.
I've been on for about 4 years now and haven't had any such requests. Do you know of any? Has staff?
Actually, this is a new provision in the Coastal Act from a year ago. Now, this was not something that staff had to come to the commission for approval for. So this was about a year ago. You received a memo about the new limitations on gifts to commissioners and staff, and this is part of that.
Okay. Mr. Riley.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just request in addition that those approvals, when they occur, be reported to the commission at the next meeting.
That sounds great. Good idea.
Thank you.
Any other comments? All those in favor? Or is there any objection to unanimous roll call vote on this item? Seeing none, the motion passes unanimously.
Okay, we need a closed session now, Madam Chair.
Okay.
Or do you want to take the public comments?
I was thinking we'd take the public comments first and then do the closed session.
That's fine.
And
Madam Chair, before we go there, item 28A was a status report on SONGS mitigation, and I just want to let staff know, and particularly Susan know, that I really appreciate those updates. We read them. I think it's one of the most important mitigation programs we've ever constructed, and even though it's been quite a few years into it now, it's good for us to be able to track it like that. So thank you.
All right. Thank you. So now we'll have public comment. The first speaker would be Bill Shepherd. I'll give you 3 minutes, Mr. Shepherd. 3 minutes on the clock, please.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the Commission. Good morning. My name is Bill Shepherd. I live in San Clemente, California. I want to use the time that you've given me this morning to talk to you about a non-agendized item. I feel that strongly about, and that's the Harbor and Dana Point. I have been a homeowner in San Clemente and Dana Point for over 25 years. Dana Point Harbor is a special place to me and to my family. The harbor is a place for wonderful memories, memories of depth and breadth. It's a beautiful harbor to sail into. It's one that I and friends have enjoyed for years. It's a friendly, hospitable place, a place to meet family and friends for breakfast, lunch, dinner. It's an ideal location for exercise and leisure activities that I've enjoyed as well as my friends over the years with my son and now my grandchildren. It's also one of favorite sites to take advantage of dawn and dusk photos that I dabble in and provide uplifting moments to remember. So that's my framework for why Dana Point Harbor is important to me, my friends, and my family. The harbor is more than a commercial area. Or a place to keep a boat or an ad for a local hotel. It's a vital center for residents, visitors, family, and children to visit and enjoy. experience, and accumulate memories that last a lifetime. But I don't use the harbor the way I used to. And in talking to my friends, neither do they. Why? It needs more than a facelift that the county has recently given it. It needs revitalization and rejuvenation. The Dana Point Harbor needs the change that has been carefully crafted by the city of Dana Point and approved by the County of Orange. No longer can we allow the harbor to stagnate. We need change in the harbor to optimize the natural asset that we have. We need this plan to go forward now. We have waited for a long time, and this change is vital to our area's economic vitality and quality of life for residents and visitors alike. There are so many new and revitalized competing alternatives in our area for residents and visitors. Irvine Spectrum, Aliso Viejo Center, Ocean Ranch, Laguna Niguel Center. And the delays in the harbor have left it behind. The county, the city, and residents and boaters have labored long and hard to incorporate a variety of solutions to increase parking to accommodate visitors and boaters, and concentrate commercial development to make restaurants and stores convenient and accessible. We need this change. We need it now. Now's the time. Please agendize this issue for your next meeting and vote to approve it without delay. Thank you very much.
All right, thank you. Gunter Lehmacher. And the next speaker would be Barbara Herr.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, my name is Gunter Lehmacher, and I'm a boater in the Dana Point Harbor for the last 11 years. I want to speak to you on a subject regarding the City of Dana Point application currently being considered by coastal staff and what will be coming before you very shortly. I'm a member of Dana Point Association in support of the harbor vitalization, which I think is essential to maintain vitality of the various harbor uses. I'm aware that this plan has been scheduled for public hearing, but it has been going on for too long. I'd like to see it happening sooner than later. I believe that the county and the city has found a balance between the various uses that will make Dana Point Harbor an even nicer place to visit. I know you have heard from some boaters which have different opinions and ideas about the plan, but I want you to know this boater does not share their concern, and I want you to hear from those of us who support the plan. Also, I hear that some of you are suggesting that this plan not to be hit until June, but I think that it's just a delayed tactic. Santa Barbara is not far drive for people who are truly interested in seeing good things happen for Dana Point Harbor. Please schedule this project for the hearing at this earliest opportunity. Thank you very much for your time.
All right, thank you. Barbara Herr, and the next speaker after that will be Donna Kies, or Kayles, I'm not sure.
Madam Chair and members of the Commission, I'm Barbara Herr. I'm a longtime resident of Laguna Niguel, and I'm here to address you regarding the Dana Point Harbor LCPA that is currently under staff review. I'm a supporter of the harbor revitalization. I'm a member of a walking group called the Feet Fleet, and we walk the harbor daily. While we are aware that this LCPA is not yet set for hearing, we know that you've been receiving comments regarding concerns of some of the constituents about the plan, and I feel strongly that you need to hear from those of us who support the proposed plan. My fellow members of the Feet Fleet and I have waited a long time for the revitalization, which is going to provide much-needed public restroom, improved handicap access and enhanced access to the harbor, and a festival plaza which will enhance our enjoyment of the recreational facility. Because many of us are on a fixed income, which is not so fixed after the last year, We can enjoy the harbor at no cost by walking and relaxing in the public areas. My friends and I actually meet other friends outside the Feet Fleet. We congregate at the harbor and enjoy the amenities. I even have friends come from as far as Murrieta to enjoy the bird watching. So having said that, we want improvements that will be possible with the LCPA, and we want to urge the prompt processing of the plan so the county can proceed with the City of Dana Point to implement it, making this resource available to boaters and walkers alike. And in conclusion, by the way, I do not support the idea of pushing the hearing to June. That would be just one more significant delay. And by the way, it is not a problem for me or any of the supporters that I know to drive to Santa Barbara. We will do so willingly to demonstrate our support for this plan. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Donna Kalas. And Donna will be followed by Anthony Morales, Penny Ali, and Mark Massara.
Good afternoon. Madam Chair and members of the Commission, hi, my name is Donna Kalas, and I live in San Clemente. I am here today representing my family-owned business, Dana Wharf Sport Fishing and Whale Watching. We were the first business in Dana Point Harbor, which was built in 1971. In fact, we operated out of trailers until the buildings were built. My father, Don Hansen, was here today but had to leave, so I'm here representing our family, our employees, and 50,000 patrons that go out on our boats every single year. I am also a member of the Dana Point Now group. Dana Wharf Sport Fishing provides sport fishing to over 20,000 fishermen, women, and children, as well as we provide educational and whale watching to over 30,000 men, women, and children each year. We believe that our business provides a public need to those who love to go boating but do not have access to a boat or do not own a personal boat. We are the public access to the ocean. In addition, Dana Wharf helps to manage the Catalina Express, which is the ferry service to Catalina Island from Dana Point. Catalina Express carries roughly 35,000 passengers from Dana Point each year to Catalina Island. Together, Catalina Express and Dana Wharf Sport Fishing bring over 85,000 people from all over LA, San Diego, Riverside, Orange County, and beyond to access the ocean. We support the proposed revitalization of Dana Point Harbor provided by the City of Dana Point and the LCPA. We have been patiently working through this process for the past 10 years. The harbor, as well as the merchants and the public, need this revitalization in order to survive and be relevant in today's market. There are many reasons that we support and need the plan. One that everyone seems to agree on, and which is very important, is the additional parking that will be provided by this plan. Please do not delay this plan any farther. If it can be agendized for April, please do so. We will go where we need to go. We cannot delay it any longer, and I thank you so much for your time.
All right, thank you. Anthony Morales, and Penny Alia, and Mark Massara.
Good afternoon. My name is Anthony Morales. I am the tribal chief and chairman of the Gabrielino Tongva San Gabriel Band of Mission Indians and the most likely descendant at the Boca Chica Brightwater Development Project. I stand before this commission for the fourth time to update you on my request that all 5,500 bags of soil matrix that are in storage to be appropriately processed, completed, and fully documented continues to be ignored by Mr. Ed Mumford, Senior Vice President of Hearthside Homes. These bags contain human remains, teeth, beads, associated burial and ceremonial fragments. This issue needs to be addressed before the reburial of the 87 ancestors from Order 83 can take place as per condition number 23. At your Santa Barbara meeting that took place on April 10, 2008, you instructed Mr. Munford that if a reburial took place without full documentation, that it would be in violation of condition 23. At an on-site meeting that took place on August 28, 2008, Mr. Munford stated that he was planning for a reburial in late November or mid-December of 2008. Again, he ignored my request and your instructions. I went before you again in Ventura on October 16, 2008. to give this commission an update and ask for a cease and desist until condition 23 was complied with. Mr. Mumford was making statements that if there was no reburial, that he would have, that he wouldn't have to sort the 5,500 bags, and that he wouldn't be in violation of condition 23. He is holding our ancestors hostage as he continues to build homes. Again, I went before you in Long Beach at the November 13, 2008 meeting to notify you as to what Mr. Mumford was up to. I quoted AB 2641, which addresses human remains of which there is in the 5,000 bags, and the Van Horn decision, which states that archaeological items and human remains must be dealt with in a timely manner, of which Mr. Mumford is in violation of. Our ancestors have been out of the ground for over 2.5 years. This prompted this commission to give Mr. Mumford instructions to appear at your meeting in San Francisco on December 11, 2008, with a time frame as to when he would sort the 5,500 bags. He appeared and told you that he was given, that he was having a reburial in about 1 month, and made no mention of the 5,500 bags, which went against your instructions. This situation goes back to April 10, 2008, that if a reburial takes place, that he would be in violation of condition 23. He mentions that the two most likely descendants are at odds with each other, and that he is in constant consultation with them, which is not true, and that Hearthside Homes has no money to complete the ongoing work that is left. Hearthside Homes' quarterly report for October, November, and December 2008 show that 17 homes sold for $25 million. He was trying to justify his actions by assuming that the Native American Heritage Commission would side with him after their meeting in San Juan Capistrano that took place on December 12, 2008. The results of that meeting are that the Native American Heritage Commission is siding with the Coastal Commission in enforcing Condition 23. One second, please. I ask this commission to direct the executive director of this commission to issue a cease and desist on all construction and building activity. Since this project is in its final stages, I ask that this cease and desist stay in place until all data, documentation, final report, sorting of the 5,500 bags, reburial, and the resin casting of cogstones that was agreed upon by Mr. Mumford are completed. In the memory of my ancestors.
Thank you. Does staff have a comment?
We are aware of the status of the reburial. We have sent a letter to Mr. Mumford indicating that we believe that the documentation must occur prior to the reburial. And that letter went out very recently. His comments to the commission last month were before the hearing before the Native American Heritage Commission that indicated in that that hearing that the documentation needs to occur prior to the reburial. So we don't anticipate that he is planning to do the reburial without the documentation occurring.
All right. Thank you, staff.
Our concern, though, is that they finish the documentation, and they should devote all the resources necessary to get that done as quickly as possible. I don't know how long that's going to take, but they are in violation, as I see it, of our permit. And so I'm hoping he's listening to these comments.
The action by the Native American Heritage Commission did say within 2 months. That the documentation should occur. So,
okay.
There is a letter by Native American Heritage Commission that was addressed to your Long Beach staff.
Yeah, actually, the public comment piece is over, so there are some commissioners that would like to comment.
Okay.
Commissioner Wong?
Yes, I think that this has been going on long enough. They are not in compliance with the condition. We couldn't help and deal with this probably the way we should have dealt with it. I think waiting until they have totally finished the project, we ought to and then have no, I don't know what kind of hammer you have or what the completion of the project does to any of this stuff, but I think you need to respond to his request for and tell us your response to his request for a cease and desist.
We're not prepared to do that. This point, we're going to continue to work with him, and given the staffing resources we've got, I think giving him the direction to complete them as the Native American Heritage Commission has directed within 2 months. If that doesn't happen, then I think that changes the conditions on the ground for us. But at this point, we're not prepared to go with a cease and desist.
Commissioner Kruger?
Yes, that's what I was going to suggest, because I think we made it very clear and we really pushed on them, remember, at the last meeting. But I, for one, and I would be prepared to recommend that if it does not occur, just like Director Douglas said, that we do issue a cease and desist of the 60 days. It's been enough time, and we've given them enough opportunities to correct it, but this is the last opportunity.
All right.
He needs to get the word.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Thank you very much. Mm-hmm.
Penny Alia?
Good afternoon. Happy New Year, Coastal Commission. Penny Alia, Sierra Club. I have passed out documentation on past and recent fuel modification activities that have occurred at Hobo Aliso Ridge, Driftwood Properties LLC in Laguna Beach, property owned by the Athens Group. The city maintained fuel breaks zone 10 and 11 indicated on the map in your handouts are within the land owned by the Athens Group and are the city's responsibility. These zones are located within a white hole under Coastal Commission jurisdiction. I am seeking to demonstrate that Ken Frank, the city manager, has circumvented the Coastal Act process and issued an emergency nuisance abatement order versus securing a coastal development permit as evidenced in the handouts. Please allow me to read an excerpt from an email of November 6, 2007 that's in your packet from the city manager to the city's fire chief with respect to securing a CDP for fuel mod in a white hole. Quote, our position is very clear. First, the fire break in question preceded the Coastal Act and is legal without a coastal development permit. However, just as a backup, in case any portion was not done before the Coastal Act, there is a nuisance abatement order by the fire chief under the municipal code which adopts the state fire code. We will continue to maintain the fire break on a regular basis. We do not need a coastal permit for this ongoing maintenance, and I don't believe we need an annual written directive from the fire chief as long as the city is willing to pay for the work. If we expect the private property owner to pay, then we need a formal declaration by the fire chief. End quote. We believe that the city manager has abused his police power in ordering these fuel mod events under an emergency nuisance abatement order. He has made arbitrary and capricious decisions in order to secure payment from the Athens Group for these fuel mod activities, which are the city's responsibility. I bring your attention to the last line of the coastline pilot, and the landowner is doing it again. Fortunately, they have deep pockets. This end run around the Coastal Act and Commission staff has led to more fragmentation of ESHA and endangered species at Hobo Aliso Ridge. Such irresponsible behavior leads one to believe that all of this was perpetrated to facilitate future development of the Athens land. Restoration of this land is being discussed between the Athens Group and Commission staff, even in the face of their recent lawsuit that I assume you will hear about today in closed session. Staff will need your support in providing a harmonious solution to protecting and preserving this precious coastal resource when the restoration is finally heard following years of delay. Thank you for your continued efforts to protect and preserve our finite coastal resources. Thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Wan, did you have...
Yeah, Ms. Alia, you made reference to handouts. I don't think any of us got any handouts. Uh-huh. There we go. I was wondering what you were referring to.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Mark Massara, please.
Madam Chair, Commissioners, Mark Massara. I'll just note that the handout that Vanessa's circulating is a small portion of the Freedom of Information Act request information that has come from the City of Laguna Beach. Among other things, it shows that Ken Frank, the city manager of Laguna Beach, believes that he has the Coastal Act wired and you hamstrung, that he can use this nuisance and emergency power to maintain what he calls a fire break and what Dr. Dixon and every scientist that's ever been up there calls ESHA and rare habitat. And he's doing it, of course, you know, this is the same thing. We come back every single month with this. He's doing this to facilitate mansion development on this site. And I guess the question here is, what are we going to do about this? There has to be some institutional response to this fellow and his theory, because if he's right, if the Coastal Commission is not going to do anything, he's not going to be the last person to use this mechanism to destroy habitat for development. And so I guess our plea is that, can we at least send a letter to Ken and say, why are you chopping down this habitat again in the middle of winter? And if this is for fire protection, why do you just leave the broken, dead limbs all over the property? Isn't that a cause or a potential fire danger in itself? They're not, I mean, this whole thing is so, it's such a joke. It doesn't pass the laugh test. And can't we at least put their feet to the fire, require them to do some meaningful justification for this work? And I guess our hope is that you would direct staff to at least send some sort of letter exposing this folly. The other thing I really wanted to touch on quickly is that we've just learned that your North Coast office is attempting to schedule the Georgia-Pacific Mill toxic pile matter for your next meeting in 3 weeks in Southern California. To us, this just makes no sense whatsoever. Georgia-Pacific hasn't finished the comparative bench test alternative analysis, which may well provide you with information regarding mycelium remediation. You'll have no information, and you're just going to be bullied by GP into allowing them to bury these incredibly hazardous and toxic materials all over that property, which was intended to be a redeveloped nature park, housing, and community area. Why GP has to bring this back in Southern California, over 500 miles from the location, to us makes no sense. Your March meeting is in Monterey. That would be several, many hundreds of miles closer to Fort Bragg. To us, the only logical thing is that we've got to finish this testing analysis, and we've got to try to move this meeting closer to all of these people who would like to participate in these proceedings. Thank you.
Thank you. Commissioner Hua.
Well, just first on the last part, if I remember correctly, when this came, that issue, the Georgia Pacific issue, came to us, the commission said they wanted that information. So if you don't have it, why is it coming back to us?
We have all the information that we think is necessary for this commission to act. And I, the characterization by Mr. Massara of what's going on here is simply wrong.
Okay.
We're not talking about disposing of toxic waste all over the site. We were very careful in working with the Toxic Substances Control Board, with the city, and the property owner, and others, to select a site that we think is an appropriate site for the containment, the moving of the toxins that have been identified and the containment of them. And there's an urgency to move forward on this. And frankly, from our perspective, this is one of the most important, undeveloped, open coastal pieces of property that we want to make sure gets tied down for public use for the future. And we're concerned that delays will drive the new owners of this. It's not Georgia Pacific anymore. It's a new corporation that has a little different attitude, that they would just walk away from this. And we've committed to the city that we're going to do everything we can to expedite our review. That doesn't mean we're not going to address legitimate issues, but there are a number of issues that you raised at the last meeting that we have answers to, and we're going to provide that for you at the hearing that's coming up. And we'll have somebody from Toxic Substances Control Board here to answer those questions as well. And they're the ones who have the expertise.
Madam Chair, on this one for the Executive Director, can I ask, can we just make sure we include the report from the toxic substance as a attachment this time in the staff report? And B, if I remember last time, the supervisor from the Toxic Substances Division was unfamiliar with the project because the staffer had left the program, and she seemed very nervous and unprepared, and I didn't really feel like she could answer those questions. So if we could just prep them for, I'm also
We're going to have somebody there from the agency who is very familiar
Great.
With what's been going
That's
on.
That's all I was looking right. for when I raised those issues.
You'll have that.
All right, thank you.
On the first matter that Mr. Massar is talking about, you know, I've looked through this kind of this, and we're looking at here the same issue that we've been dealing with for a long time. We dealt with it in the vesting claim, an attempt to sort of end run around enforcement issues to use now brush clearance as a way to end run it around. I don't know what we can do about it, but I'm really concerned about it, and I hope it's going to be very clear to the applicant. They can kill off the endangered species, but if they do it without a valid permit, it's still Escher. If they were there before, it's still Escher after they do it. So I would hope that they wouldn't be that indiscriminate. These are listed endangered plants that they are clearing. It's not just anything that they're doing out there. And if you look at some of these emails, it's pretty clear that this brush clearance is specifically to end run around us. Again, one way we tried it with vesting, now we're trying it with brush clearance, and I'm kind of disturbed about it.
All right, that's the end of our public comment speakers time, and we have need for a closed session, is that correct? And do we have to make any announcements? And also, if we take action, are we going to report out today or report out tomorrow?
We can report out tomorrow.
Okay, so we'll adjourn now and go into closed session. If we take action, we'll report out tomorrow morning. Thank you. And tomorrow morning, the meeting starts at 9:00.